about.
Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
This world, it's a dark, dark forest. If you open up a man and look into most of their hearts, you'll find disgust and evil. Your own parents, your mother and father, would slit your throat just to get ahead. And when you find a wife, you watch her. And you don't believe a single word she says, because at the core, people are sh**.
You want showmanship? You got it!
Hi, I'm Peter Griffin. You know, there's an issue facing many Americans today that I know concerns a great number of us. According to Gallup polls, 1 in 12 Americans is unaware that the bird is the word. I, for one, dream of an America where everybody knows that the bird is the word.
And now... our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody.
Excuse me. Morning, everybody.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. No, it's got to be about
time. What is wrong with you? We had yesterday off.
No, this week has got to be over.
Don't
I'm
do
serious,
that to us.
Though.
Don't
come on. It's the time to go, right?
What are you complaining about? We just, this is the first 30 seconds of working.
Yeah, it's... I'm not ready.
For
I'm
what?
Not ready, dude. I'm not ready to work. I'm not ready to... My weekend hasn't started yet.
You don't have a weekend, ever.
That's not true. Usually I, more than anyone, has a weekend because I'm the guy with no plans who does nothing but really enjoy being off.
Right.
So it's the opposite of what
today?
You said. Well, what happened?
What happened this week? I mean, this weekend.
Since before we even left for work, it's been nonstop goddamn people in my house. They didn't leave until last night.
The antisocial one.
Party.
Yeah.
We had a huge party on Saturday. Now I just, now I've got to move because now so many people know where I live. I'm going to have to either fake my own death or change my identity so people can't find me.
Or
both. It's getting ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. It really is.
Bean is a guy who is trying to sequester himself away from society.
Well, sadly, he's got a wife who isn't.
Yes, that's
and,
correct.
And that, so it doesn't work out really the
but
way
he has,
he wants.
But he has spent his life, she invites people over and then he'll call them and uninvite them.
That's absolutely true.
And I know that that sounds like a joke, but it isn't.
No, because we've talked to some of those people who are really hurt.
Yeah. But how did you not do that this time? Why didn't you call him after she invites him? Don't you secretly go behind her back, give him a call, and go, you know what? Canceled.
Because it was something that was going to happen with my participation or not. Donna was going to figure out a way to get 35 freaking people to our house. 35 people, by the way, is more people than I ever see in a year.
Right.
All in my house at one time.
Right, but don't you think that's maybe good for you?
No. No. No, it was... it was awful. It was awful.
I bet it wasn't awful.
And then it gets to be, then it's 9, okay, Saturday night. Then it's 10,
right.
Still going on.
Right.
Now it's pushing 11. There are still people in my house.
Right.
Around midnight, I guess, people finally started to break up.
Right.
That's not a civil hour. That's not decent. People shouldn't be out at midnight. Right? That's ridiculous.
All right, Grandpa.
I'm just saying. Hey, we're going to take your calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. I know we're out of practice, but we are going to do Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. If you want to call that toll-free number, get on the air and get a prize.
Bean is the guy who literally just used to take for granted that he gets to spend most of his life by himself. Now, man.
You just can't deal with it.
He has a party, and it just throws him off.
My ex-husband's dad would just go to bed.
Your ex-husband's dad.
Well, he was 100.
Like he was still alive.
He would just toddle off to bed when he was done. They'd have people over, and he'd be like, good night, everyone.
All right, have fun.
And,
see you later.
They could stay or go, whatever, but he's done. So you could have just gone to bed at 9 o'clock.
I had the stern talking to by the missus about being a good co-host for the party.
No, I'll bet you were top notch. I'll bet those people.
Attitude.
I'll bet everyone there was just like, wow, Bean's a social butterfly, that guy. He won't stop talking my ear off.
There was a lot of, wow, it's getting late. You look tired. You know, it's a long, long drive you better think about hitting the road. You know, there was a lot of that. I was just trying to keep them safe, you know, and keep them
sure,
happy.
Keep them safe.
And by the way, it wasn't just that. It's not just one party. It's that I had people staying with me since Thursday. People came in starting Thursday. So I had people all weekend. So then, of course, you got people in town. You know what this is like, Kevin. You got people in town. What do they want to do? They're visiting your city. They want to go see stuff, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I want to go back to the freaking Space Needle. That's my idea of a good time. I want to do that again. You know, it's like you having to take them to Disneyland. Same sort of thing, you know?
But most people, since that only happens every once in a while, are perfectly fine doing that.
I'm saying stop it. That's what I'm saying.
Stop.
I'm saying I don't want people going anywhere anymore. I want people to stay in their houses and quit annoying other people. That's what I want.
Wow.
All right?
So, wow.
Okay. So that happened.
So, so you're going with us to New York, right?
That's part of the problem, I think, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, always about a week out, he starts just complaining and whining when he has to travel.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Well, it doesn't make this a relaxing week to catch up from the past few days, that's for sure.
Wow, you really have a rough, man.
I know, that's what
I'm
saying. I'm
glad I don't have your job.
Exactly.
Your
Thank
job
you
would
for noticing.
Suck.
Thank you for noticing.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
What it do, nephew?
Well, times are tight, apparently, because your prize for getting on the air, 1-800-520-1067, is a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt, which I know we haven't made in many, many years, so it's got to be some vintage from the 90s, but it's yours.
That is odd. I haven't seen one of those in quite some time.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This is a totally bogus prize. All right, let's begin with Eddie, because this was awesome, and I hope you saw it. Eddie, hi.
What up, Kevin, Bean, and you hot piece of ass, Lisa May?
Yeah!
What it do?
What's going on, Eddie?
What it do? Hey, I'm pretty sure you saw it, Kevin. 24-7, Marquez Mayweather.
I did.
Marquez drinks his own urine.
That happens. Yeah.
Yep.
Why?
Just part of his training regimen. He says, you know, a lot of vitamins. You take a lot of vitamins, and then they go out of your system. So I just fill up a cup and
the recapturing system.
Drink it back up. Yeah.
Does he just
been working for the last 5 or 6 fights?
Well, we don't know if it's actually been working. Everything he's done in total has been working. Who's to say whether drinking your own urine works or not?
Well, he's not going to give it up if he's winning, right?
It's not like they presented it like, hey, this is a little weird, but check this out. This guy has a theory. Just it's part of his daily life.
Does he filter it or boil it or anything, or just drink it straight out of the hose?
Well, he doesn't drink it out of the hose. He doesn't drink it out of the hose.
He puts it in a bucket first and then drinks it.
Right. He puts it in a cup and then...
But I thought the whole point of waste, both kinds, is that it eliminates things that your body doesn't want or need.
Right. Me too. And that
Psycho Mike, your thoughts?
I would imagine with sports medicine being what it is that you would get away with not drinking urine nowadays.
Right, you could somehow find a way around that.
It's totally sterile. I mean, it is not unhealthy. I just don't know of any health benefits to doing it.
Well, he seems to be perfectly happy with it, and it's not out of the ordinary at all. Just when he's done working out, he just rehydrates. You know?
So
I'm going to try it, and I'll let you know how it turns out.
Yes, please, Eddie.
Please do. Yes.
That would be the best.
Boxers look at that, though, and go, well, it's working for him. I should try it.
Probably.
Next time we have our friend Joe Rogan on the show, he'll do it. He's done it before, and he's a big proponent of it, too.
He's a proponent of it? Really?
Yeah. So
we'll have to find out why. Sure he's done the research.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. Yeah, that was weird, but I can't wait for that fight. I guess it's a week from Saturday or something like that. All right, let's go to another Eddie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what it do, Kevin and Bean?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I'm trying to compliment Psycho Mike, but he actually did a really good job yesterday in Loveline.
Psycho Mike is hosting Loveline all this week, right?
Yeah.
And he was actually pretty good. He was comic relief and very informative.
Yeah.
He actually does know some stuff.
But
it's weird.
But he still, his douchebag came out.
It did, yeah.
Wow.
You can't help that.
It's hard for him to hide that.
Very hard. Yeah, but he was pretty good. And my compliments to him.
All right.
Wow. Thank you, Eddie.
Very nice. I'm going to have to listen.
I wondered about this week, Psycho Mike is hosting Loveline, because Mike came out on the Twitter yesterday, decided to announce to the world that he's decided he's gay.
I thought that happened like a year ago.
Officially, though. Yeah. I mean, we've all known. But officially, he came out yesterday. I thought, that's interesting that he would be at such a conflicted point in his life where just yesterday he decided, he's going to go on and give young people advice on how to deal with their own sexual issues.
Sure.
If you notice a couple really weird tweets from me yesterday, this is just a lesson to the kids. Don't leave your Twitter up at your place of business and then, you know, forget about it. I was on the air Saturday night and left my Twitter up here, and the jock, whoever it was, on Sunday afternoon.
Did the right thing. Did,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You leave it up. You're asking for it.
But he was smart, whoever he was, because it wasn't outlandish. It was completely believable, and there was nobody who got that tweet and was shocked. We all just went, right. Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, what a surprise. All right. Thank you for the call. Good. Let's go to Gabor? Gaber?
It's Gabor.
Gabor.
What of course it is.
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, so I went to the L.A. County Fair, and they have the awesomest food. They have a deep-fried White Castle burger.
Deep-fried White Castle?
Yeah. White Castle is tiny little burgers you find out east and wherever.
Yeah, on the East Coast, yeah.
So they batter them and they deep fry them, and then it's just awesome. It's just dripping and greasy and, like, your arteries clogged just eating it.
I heard how that happened because I heard the guy interviewed. He's like Chicken Charlie or something like that, Fried Chicken Charlie, somebody like that. Anyway, he's kind of infamous at the fair, and apparently someone challenged him to deep – he's like, we can deep fry anything, and someone said, well, do that burger. So he went to a stand next to his and got a burger, but it's a regular size, and by the time it was done, he said it was the size of your head, but it was really good. So they decided to get those little ones.
It's a heart attack and a meal right there.
Absolutely. That's why you go to the fair.
White Castle.
So let me ask you this, Psycho Mike. Would you rather eat the deep-fried White Castle burger or drink your own urine? Which one would you do?
That's a toss-up.
Not for me.
I will say I've sampled most of the deep fried stuff they have at the fairs. The Oreo cookie's number one. Deep fried Oreo cookie is so good.
What about the deep fried Twinkie though? That's
I've heard
pretty
those
good.
Those are good.
Yeah,
it is. But it
when you deep fried Snickers,
yeah,
see, that could be too much. That turns because it turns into like a chocolatey peanutty goo in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Oreo.
That's what you like said. Goo, Mike.
He does. He does like you. That's a good point.
Well done, Gabor.
Well done.
He is a fan of goo. That's true. I learned that in his tweet also.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
Get an update on all the celebs and what they did over the weekend.
Did I miss anything? Did anyone go crazy or die or get arrested or anything like that?
I find it hard to believe if something happened, you missed it.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. Because Bean actually gets a Google alert before things happen.
That's true.
I've never seen anyone that has
I was
that
limited
ability.
In my exposure to technology this weekend. That's why I was.
And by that, he means 10 hours a day only. Derek Fisher?
Oh.
Yeah.
From the Lakers. How about that on today's Kevin and Bean Show? Sam Endicott, maybe you recognize that name, lead singer of The Bravery. Have a brand new world premiere song from The Bravery. We're going to talk to him.
Great.
We have a way for you to put yourself in a movie. And it's called U-Star, and we'll tell you about that today. You can actually edit yourself into
a real movie.
A real movie.
One that exists.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And let's see. Ralph's Video Vault today.
Okay.
Very excited about that. Crazy Girls Undercover is the name of the movie.
That sounds like a winner.
It was made by the guy who owns the Crazy Girls Strip Club in Las Vegas. He made the movie, and he's apparently like, it's almost like a Charlie's Angels thing where he's an undercover cop, and then his strippers are his detectives or whatever, and they go out and solve crime. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but that, from what I understand, that's what happens.
Okay.
So we'll do all that. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat, and that is next. 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:52.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show with the very latest song from Weezer coming up. Also got some Blink 182, Kings of Leon, Linkin Park, and this is the only place that I'm aware of on the FM radio dial, or AM, depending on where you're listening, where you get the great Ralph Garvin, ladies and gentlemen, who joins us for a first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week.
It's not true.
Hey, Ralph, how are you?
It's not true. You can now hear Imus and Garvin in the morning.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Me and Don are going to start rocking it.
Don, is that true? Is he lying to us? Are you guys really doing a show together?
25 minutes after the hour, news and news, and it's time for Showbiz Update. Mr. Ralph Garvin, how are you?
Yeah, it's going to be a show.
I can't wait.
I will basically just translate for Don.
Yes. What Don said was...
All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies over the long Labor Day weekend, shall we? See what made a lot of money. Not traditionally a big box office weekend, Labor Day.
Because it's the last weekend of summer?
And most people are off doing something.
Yeah.
Either they're traveling or they're spending time with friends and family at picnics and whatnot. So not big numbers this weekend, but The Final Destination did sneak in at number one, just above Inglourious Basterds, made $15.4 million. Inglourious Basterds came in at number two with $15 million. Then All About Steve in its debut with that Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And that Bradley Cooper.
And that good script.
Came in at $13.9 million, which just goes to show you women will watch anything.
No
but
kidding.
But not a lot of them.
Gamer was number four.
I saw that.
You did?
How was it?
It was weird. It was like watching in a video game the whole time, but it was kind of like good promise.
Mm-hmm.
But it wrote a check that it couldn't cash. It just it didn't.
Insufficient funds?
Yeah. I mean, wow. it was interesting, and it looked great. But
couldn't have taken some of its money from savings and just covered that check?
I would have hoped.
Yeah.
They didn't have savings.
Oh.
No, they used up every penny that they
damn
had.
Damn, so. Gamers.
Yeah. I liked
your bad fiscal policies.
But it was kind of dumb.
District 9 was fifth. Halloween 2 was 6th, Julie and Julia was 7th, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra was 8th, then The Time Traveler's Wife, and Extract in its debut only made $5.3 million, but that was good enough to make it number 10 over the holiday weekend. Greatest story by far this weekend, if you've been following as closely as I have, Sean Merriman from the San Diego Superchargers was arrested Sunday morning by San Diego Sheriff's Department for choking out Tila Tequila.
Yay!
Tila signed a citizen's arrest warrant.
That's my favorite part of it.
When the cops showed up.
Citizen's arrest.
Saying he beat her up and choked her out. They pulled Sean in. Sean said when he got to the sheriff's station that he was just trying to stop her from driving because she was heavily intoxicated at that point. And he looks forward to clearing his name regarding these false allegations, he said in a statement. The linebacker, in my opinion, just should have closed the deal. How do you have Tila Tequila's neck in your hands and not finish it off for all of us? He should be arrested, not for assault, but for shirking his duty, for coming up short. For not following through.
He should be arrested for having her at his house in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of choice is that?
But still, when you got her scrawny little neck in your hands and you're Sean Merriman.
You don't let her tap out?
About 12 pounds of pressure. That's all you need. Just take
now,
her out.
You're not. Of course you're not advocating violence against any women.
No.
Just this woman,
just
right?
Just Tila Tequila.
Okay.
I abhor violence against women, but it's Tila Tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a chance to make
that
the world a justified. Better place. Hey, if it's 1939 and you're in a bunker in Berlin and you got Adolf Hitler at the end of the business end of a Ruger,
right?
You pull that trigger, right?
But it's murder. But yes, you do.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Sometimes you have to do what's best for the planet.
Yes,
Sean Merriman. Ooh. Well,
what about her reaction to his claim that she was drunk? By the way,
which was
I did not hear that.
She said that she's allergic to alcohol and she doesn't drink.
Oh, shut up.
She seem like she's always sloppy drunk?
Yes, and the two were seen loaded at a nightclub called Stingery in San Diego earlier that evening. Witnesses say they were both pounding.
Yeah.
So
alcohol?
Murder button.
Yeah.
Tila Tequila murder button.
I hear you.
She was drinking
murder.
It was invented.
Yeah.
Oh, great story. Congratulations to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. They were the big winners when it came to an auction for one of Michael Jackson's single white spangled gloves. I guess they'll put it on display there at the Hotel and Casino. The Hard Rock, of course, has a large collection of memorabilia from rock and roll and pop stars.
Sure.
$50,000 they paid for the glove.
That's for the glove.
How about that? Mm. Apparently, this was the glove he was wearing the day he married his second wife, Debbie Rowe.
Yeah. Wore that glove to his wedding.
Yeah.
Did he have a different glove for every occasion in his life or something?
He did. He did.
Because you can't wear it more than once for some reason?
He would treat his gloves the way Elvis treated scarves, which he would just throw them out sometimes to fans and that kind of stuff. So he had a large collection of gloves, but this was a special one. This was his wedding glove.
Yeah.
One of the people that I had at my house this weekend, Ralph, this is a very quick detour if you'll permit me because it involves Michael Jackson, was involved in a meeting for Captain EO, which, by the way, is coming back to Disneyland for folks who never saw that that movie. Was it John Landis, I think, directed the movie? So it's coming back to Disneyland. And when they were originally making it, he was in a meeting at the record company, excused himself to go to the bathroom, and apparently dropped his glove in the toilet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know how to deal with that, so he just started screaming at the top of his lungs like a little girl, and a bunch of people ran into the bathroom, and he couldn't even talk, apparently, according to my friend who knows the guy, just pointing at the glove. Had no idea what to do. It just was so out of the realm of his experience how to handle something like that.
God.
Wow. Awesome.
I just love that image of him screaming and pointing.
That's awesome.
Well, Quincy.
It depends on what kind of business he was in the bathroom to take care of, you know?
Well, very much so. Very much.
If, you know,
do you want it either way?
Well, if it's number one, so what? You just rinse it off. Or you drink it, right?
Sure.
You just rinse it in your mouth.
A fighter, sure.
But if it's number two, I'd be doing the same thing.
Poopy glove!
Much higher pitch.
And it also makes a difference if you're a billionaire and you can afford to get another glove, too.
Dude, poopy glove's still poopy glove. I've always said that. My whole life, I've always said that. Poopy glove is poopy glove. And speaking of millions of dollars, congratulations to my good, close, personal friend, Jerry Lewis.
He's not your friend at all.
Oh yeah, we're tight. Dude, trust me, we are close.
Yeah.
Some people can't tell the difference between us. That's how close we are.
Does he know that? Oh, I guess he does. Yes.
he does. Sadly, he knows it all too well.
He does know it well.
The Muscular Dystrophy Annual Labor Day Telethon pulled in $60 million yesterday.
Oh, my God.
What will it take to get these freaking kids to walk? What more do they have to do?
Well, I think they have to solve...
So you're $60 million if you'll just get your lazy ass out of that chair. But no, not these kids.
Not paying
push
the kids.
Push me around. I'm not walking. Ooh, push me to the dinner table. Nom, nom, nom.
Not paying the kids.
Screw you, kids, you lazy bastards.
Scientists have to solve the problem.
It's like my dad said to me once. He said, if you love a lot,
right.
And I indeed get love a lot.
Sure.
And I've loved a lot.
Oh.
You're going to get love a lot.
I'm sorry.
Well...
Is there something about love in there?
No.
Big stars this week. I don't know if you guys caught any of the telethon.
No, I
flipped
to avoid
over
it.
And started watching. My wife was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching some of the Muscular Dystrophy telethon. Why? It's a tradition. It's a holiday tradition. You take a little taste of
not
the telethon.
In my house,
not for me.
Not.
Well, then you missed stars like Charo.
Yeah!
Menudo.
Wow.
Former American Idol contestant Ace Young.
How did they get him?
Biggest Loser host Allison Sweeney. Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood, and yes, Reba McEntire. So, you missed out, people.
The celebs come out, don't they?
They sure do. The stars shine.
They do.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Pink celebrates her 30th birthday today. Also, actor Lorenz Tate is 34. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28. Henry Thomas, little kid from E.T. Remember Elliot?
Elliot.
Sure. Yeah. Little Elliot is 38 years old today.
Wow.
David Arquette is also 38, and actress and host Brooke Burke celebrates her 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a programming note. The program is going to be broadcasting live from a city called New York.
What is this? You're acting like you don't know what New York is.
New York City, Thursday, Friday, and the following Monday, you're going to be hearing the program live from Manhattan. And I guess there's some good stuff going on there. MTV Video Music Awards. We've got Breakfast with Muse happening while we're there. So you definitely want to make plans to stay with us all week. Right now, though, we're going to take a look at the email bag. We get emails on all sorts of topics. In fact, Kevin, I believe you got a Muse fan on the line as well, right?
Do they come in a bag? Because I don't have a bag.
Not really.
Hey, Kevin, I'm a recent transplant to New York City. I'm struggling to find a job and completely broke. I'm using an antique computer from the turn of the century and thus cannot receive or listen to streaming radio, so I've missed out on a chance to enter your Breakfast with Muse competition. We're doing Breakfast with Muse from New York City next Monday.
Right.
Here's my proposal. I'm interning on the set of a new Rob Thomas video to try to make myself useful. If you allow me to attend the Breakfast with Muse, I will wear a poorly spelled T-shirt with Kevin and Bean and Muse forever, for EVA. In the video, see what he's doing there?
I see.
As both an act of promotion for you and defiance against crappy-ass music. Alternatively, I can bring you guys a traditional British fry-up breakfast that morning, as I learned to make in England last summer, consisting of egg, sausage, mushrooms, black pudding, tomato, and Kevin and baked beans. All the best, Pamela. That does not sound good.
It sounds horrible.
To be honest, that is not attractive.
And I'm not that excited about anything showing up in a Rob Thomas video either, come to think of it. That helps us. I got two great emails, both follow-ups to the conversation we had last week about destroying your friend's stuff. Remember, we had a caller on the line named Melissa who wrecked her friend's $5,000 bicycle, just fell apart on her. She was specifically told not to ride it.
Yep.
She did and destroyed it, and that prompted a series of phone calls and some great emails, too, including this one from Mike. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was listening, and I had to send this as soon as I heard about people breaking their friend's stuff. My sister's English professor had a big crush on this guy back when they were in high school and wanted to do something nice for him for Christmas. Instead of making a gingerbread house, she built a gingerbread village, including lampposts on the street corners with actual candles, along with some other little extras. On Christmas Eve, she was able to sneak into his house while he and his family were at Mass. She set the gingerbread village on the living room table, made sure that everything looked perfect before lighting all the lamps, and then she left. I guess you guys can see where this story is going. She heard shortly thereafter that he and his family came home to find their house on fire. Their tree, gifts, furniture, everything turned to ashes. She didn't tell him what she'd done until about 20 years later.
Would you?
God.
He just stood in shock and disbelief as though he was reliving the entire experience again. You guys are awesome. Mike, a listener in San Francisco. Imagine you burn your friend's house down. And, of course, you know about it. You have to talk to them about it. They're your friend. But you don't tell them that you're the one. I mean, I guess arson investigation wasn't as sophisticated back then, because these days it seems like they would have figured out, hey, somebody broke into your house and built gingerbread, you know?
They would have figured it
out.
But
not only
that,
but also they had to act. They had to go, what?
What? And here's the other one. This is just as crazy, too. Dear Kevin and Bean, I heard you guys talking about wrecking something that doesn't belong to you. Here's my story. My husband was out of town for a couple days, and he left his Lexus GX, which he loves more than me, at home in the garage. I decided to drive it because my car was low on gas. So I put our then 9-month-old son in the car seat and proceeded to lock both him and the keys inside the car.
All right.
I called AAA to open the car, but these kinds of cars have an anti-theft mechanism on the windows that prevents a Slim Jim from breaking in. I called the Lexus company, and they said they could have a new key made, but it would take 4 to 5 days. Then I called the fire department to come down, and their solution was to break a window. During all this time, of course, my son was frantically screaming his head off, by the way. They ended up breaking the back window because a side window might have sprayed him with broken glass. It turns out the back window is the most expensive one to replace because of all the wipers and the sensors and everything. I honestly tried my hardest to get the car fixed before he got home. I got the window replaced, no problem, but AAA tow truck guy had scratched every single one of the inside tops of the doors trying to open it, which all had to be repainted. If the paint job had been finished 2 hours earlier, my husband never would have known what happened when he got home. But since I didn't have the car back before he got there, I had to tell him what happened on my way home from the airport. I don't exaggerate when I say we almost got divorced over the incident, and still, years later, he brings it up all the time. Total cost of replacing the window and having the inside doors repainted, $1,100. Oh, and by the way, about 20 minutes after the window was broken, I found an extra set of keys for the car in the house.
That's how it works.
Oh, man.
That is exactly how it works.
That is Penny from Anaheim. What a story. But, can you imagine the panic?
But had she not broken the window, she never would have found the key. That's how it works.
She could have called her husband, and he would have told her there was an extra set of keys.
Yeah.
But she didn't want him to know. She thought she was going to be able to tell him cover that, it up.
So there you go.
Hey, you know our kid and all that? And our car? You know our car? Yeah. But I don't know how to tell you this.
Let me do one more. Hey, Bean. What happened to Kevin last week? You guys were talking about Rodney. You guys were talking to Rodney King on the show and said he should beat the cop. He should fight the cop who beat him. Remember, Rodney King was doing the celebrity boxing thing. Right. Well, you and Ralph momentarily were trying to come up with the name of the cop involved in that case, and someone said Mark Furman. It was Kevin that jumped in and said, no, that was OJ. How does Kevin know who OJ is?
How
much less Mark Furman? What have you people done with my Kevin?
How
Matt,
dare you?
Matt in Christiansburg, Virginia. It's just, he surprised Kevin when you're the guy filling in the blanks. That's all he's saying.
Look, I have extensive knowledge. It's just not in any of the things any of you have heard of.
That's true.
That's all. Psycho Mike, you got one from our favorite listener, Duane?
Oh, yeah. This is awesome. He's a huge fan of the new 90210, which premieres tonight.
Comes back tonight.
Season 2 premieres tonight. And he's been talking about throwing a party in honor of this premiere, and it's been going on for a while. Well, last night he sent me a souped-up email, and it's fantastic.
Explain to people how you became his concierge. You became his party planner.
Last year he turned to me. He really wanted to have he'd never had an adult birthday party.
Right.
So he turned to me and asked me to do that for him, and we did. We went to Barney's Beanery on Santa Monica Boulevard. We had a great time. And now, since then, not only am I his party planner – I am his I'm his concierge in life. If he needs someone murdered, he calls me.
Right.
If he needs a checkup on his car, I have to do it for him. Right. I don't know how this happened, but that's essentially anything he needs done, he turns to me.
Okay.
So I got this email late last night. Hey, dude.
May I ask that you read it in the style of Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California?
Okay. Hey, dude. Can you give me big, huge favor? Can you help set up for 90210 Season 2 Little Party at my house? Like, order 5 pizzas.
All right, hold on. So, this is last night.
Uh-huh.
And he wants you to arrange a party for tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, order 5 pizzas. Drinks, too. Also, you can bring cameras at my house to record us watching 90210 and hang out. All you guys can start come over my house 7 p.m. because you can't be parked on the street before 7 p.m. You have to leave my house by 10 p.m. Believe that. P.S.
A lot of rules.
Ready? P.S. My birthday in 2 months. Yes. I need another big party, dude.
Yes, and it has to be a surprise. He always insists on a surprise party, too.
Wow, you going to do it?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't know. You don't have a choice now.
Is he going to, like, choke me out if I don't?
Who calls a dude and says, I want you to come to my house, bring all the food, bring all the drink, bring all the guests, and here are the specific hours that you're allowed to be there? Who does that?
Only the most special person in the world.
He is. Exactly.
And you feel bad not doing things for him because he is such a great guy, but I don't know. My hands might be a little tight on this one.
Yeah, and you do have Love Line tonight.
All right, but so you got to be out by 10.
Good point. You go back to work.
That's not a problem.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, the controversy over the president's speech to the nation today. You know, he's basically just spreading communism.
I hear that.
You know,
yeah.
He's indoctrinating little kids into his army today.
I hear that.
You know that, right?
That's going to happen. Yeah.
First, though, how about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com? Seems like it's been a million years since we caught up with him, but it's always great to have him on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Harvey, how was your Labor Day weekend, dude?
It was great. How was yours, guys?
Very good.
Well, we missed you. We know you had a little couple of days off last week. It's good to have you back. What's happening on the TMZ beat these days?
Well, what do you want to start with? You tell me.
Well, let's start with Michael Jackson. Let's start with Michael Jackson and when the police are going to get back from vacation on that investigation. That's been the most public. We are telling you right now, this dude, that doctor, is going to get charged with. It is bad times for him.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I could not disagree with you guys more on this.
Okay.
I think
they're moving fast?
No, I'm serious. I mean, look, I've been critical, you know, from time to time. I think the police are doing a great job in this case.
But didn't he die in 1997?
I think that's about right, yeah.
I mean, come on!
No, but you know what? I'll get serious with you for a second.
All right.
This, what they could do, if the LAPD wanted to be superficial, what they could do is they could say, okay, look, the dude gave Jackson propofol, he killed him because of it, and we'll send it over to the DA, and we'll see if the DA wants to file a manslaughter charge, and that would be that.
Right.
What the police are doing that is so good here is they're connecting the dots. There's a lot more here than just what happened that night. It's what led up to it. It's how many, because ultimately, you know, if this goes before a jury, you know, Conrad Murray will be saying, you know, I was the icing on the cake and there were other people who did this and that.
Right.
And what the police are doing is they are putting the puzzle together of how this happened. In the process, they're not only looking at this case, but they're looking at a lot of doctors who did a lot of bad things that probably were not limited to Michael Jackson.
And would you say they're doing that in a quick manner?
I think they're... I know they are really working here. They have multiple people on this case. It is a really complicated case.
And by multiple, you mean two?
No. I'm telling you on this one,
right.
I would give the police a solid A.
All right.
Now, it sounds like what you're saying, Harvey, and tell me if I'm way off with this analogy, but they could charge the guy that they caught selling pot, but they're spending the time to find out his source and that source and the other people and the money behind the drug running business and everything. They're trying to bring down a lot of people at the same time rather than just go for the small fish.
Not exactly. I mean, what's going to happen is – that's going to all kind of fall in line, and it's going to open up a lot of other investigations, I think. But what they're doing is they're trying to figure out, look, Michael Jackson had a lot of drugs in him. Well, how did those drugs get in him? Who prescribed those drugs? How many people had prescribed Xanax and Valium to Michael Jackson?
Right.
So that if the DA charges Conrad Murray, they're going to have a complete picture of what did Conrad Murray give Michael Jackson and what really caused Michael Jackson's death. Listen, he was a hardcore drug and anesthesia addict.
Yeah.
It's not just one drug that, boom, killed him. They're putting this puzzle together, and I'm telling you, in the process, there's going to be a bigger story than Conrad Murray about doctors that enable celebrity drug addicts to fuel their habit.
Understood. The only thing I'll leave you with is that most of the witnesses will be dead by the time they get around to bringing this case to trial. And that's got to be some sort of fear. That's
you have
all.
To work on that.
Okay, I'll leave it alone.
All right.
Let's turn our attention to the story that we weren't surprised over the weekend, because if most of us had the opportunity to choke out Tila Tequila, we'd do it also. But what happened? What's your understanding from the various reports between his statement and hers? What do you think really went down that night?
Well, I mean, I want to say somebody's lying, but it could be that the truth is in the middle. But here's the deal. Apparently, they were at a club. They go to his house. She says he choked her and then wouldn't let her leave, and it would amount to kidnapping. So she calls 911. The police come out. They arrest him for battery and for basically holding somebody against their will. He's saying it's baloney. She was drunk and that he wanted to keep her in the house so that she wouldn't hurt herself. She says now, not only was I not drunk, I don't drink because I'm allergic to alcohol. So somebody here seems to be lying.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something that happened and it's all in the middle. But Merriman hasn't been charged yet. But as you guys know, the clock is ticking because the season starts soon. And he's had his problems before, so it's going to be real interesting to see how the Chargers handle it.
But this was a citizen's arrest, right? I mean, I don't think
right.
the police didn't show up and find all kinds of proof that there was some kind
no,
of...
No. It was a citizen's arrest. And if it's a citizen's arrest where it's a felony, I mean, in a situation like that, you know, they are not going to pull, you know, an O.J. Simpson where they slap
right.
him on the hand and say, okay, see you later.
Well, now, the Chargers seem to have faith in their man because they did let him practice yesterday. He's not being suspended or anything like that. But
he hasn't
been
charged yet.
Right, he hasn't been charged. But a lot of times, you know, they like to keep you on the DL if there's a hint of impropriety. But let me ask you this one.
What does that mean? You put a bag over his head when he practices?
Yes.
No. Meaning that, you know, hey, you sit this one out until we find out what's happening with your case. But
I
let me ask you.
I think that would be really unfair.
I do, too. It happens, though.
That Tila Tequila can derail anybody she wants by making a citizen's arrest. I think that would be really unfair.
I think he should be put in prison because he's Sean Merriman. He's a superstar, you know, linebacker in the NFL, and his girlfriend is Tila Tequila.
It does seem like he could do better.
He can't do better? Come on.
But, Harvey, this is why I was so excited to talk to you today, because you got the TMZ cameras on everybody. Have you seen Tequila drinking?
You know, it's funny you should ask. She did this reality show, so we made a couple of calls to find out. And the people we talked to on the set of the show she did said they never really did see her drinking.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean she didn't do it,
right.
But they say that she... I mean, she always seemed crazy to me.
Right,
but,
yes.
But they say they never saw her drinking, at least the people we talked to.
Interesting. Well, I mean, and I heard her say in some statement, or she was quoted somewhere over the weekend saying that that's partly why her name is Tila Tequila, is because it's ironic that she can't drink and she has this name. I don't know. Maybe that's her idea of a joke or something.
She Twittered that, by the way, and everybody knows that you're under oath when you Twitter.
When you Twitter, of course.
Yes. That's an excellent point.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. It's just a shame that he didn't finish the job. But Harvey, we always appreciate having you on. We always love the good work you do at TMZ.com and, of course, the TMZ television show. Have a great day, my friend.
Can I do one plug?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Next Monday, we change our time. We're going to, instead of 6:30, we're going to be on at 6 o'clock on Channel 11 Monday through Friday.
Okay, fantastic.
New Los Angeles time, 6 p.m. then for TMZ
beginning
television.
Next Monday.
All right.
Sounds great. Thanks, Harvey.
Thanks for letting me do that.
No worries, man.
Of course.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye now.
Time to talk about our president.
Obama, 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 Obama.
Today is the day that Mr. Obama is going to line up the nation's school kids and have them fitted for their Nazi uniforms. I think that's clear. That's what's going on. They'll all be Zig Heilin through the halls of every public school in America. In fact, listen to this before we go to the president. I just got this off CNN a few minutes ago. They're interviewing people about the president's plan to address the nation's school children with a message, by the way, of work hard, stay in school, and follow your dreams. But that's not how these people see it.
Do you think the schools should play Barack Obama's speech?
Absolutely not.
It's been more like communism. And saying we're going to do this and do that.
I think it should be up to the parents' decision if they want their children to hear that or not.
And that is exactly what Principal Chris Gibbs decided. The speech will not be shown at Claremont Elementary School.
Well, how can you?
He'll show
be
them.
Like communism, you know? So we thought, what's all the controversy about? Ladies and gentlemen, the 44th President of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Kevin DeBean. How are you?
Wait, his name is Hussein?
Are you just finding that out?
What?
Well, here we go again.
Mr. President, you're just trying to talk to the kids about the importance of education and working hard. Why the firestorm? What's going on in your country, sir?
I have to tell you, I'm a little upset about the way people are viewing this speech. It's not what these people think it is at all.
Okay.
And that concerns me.
Well, they say that there was a part in your speech where you wanted to have the kids write a paragraph or something on how they can help the president. And everybody objected to that. And now you have to say, we want to have them write a paragraph about what they can do to reach their goals.
Well, I think these people will be surprised when they actually hear the speech.
Okay.
That it's nothing like that at all.
Okay. All right.
The thrust of the speech for the nation's youth is to drop out of school as quickly as possible.
Drop out of school? What? I thought it was the opposite. You're urging people to study hard and stay in school because you need an education to make a living, get a good job in the 21st century.
No, that's not it.
No.
It turns out, and I speak from experience, that Americans don't like smart people.
That's true.
You could be editor of the Harvard Law Review, and people will call you a communist.
Right.
Yeah.
That just happened, in fact.
So you need to just drop out of school.
Okay.
And focus on careers that are recession-proof.
And by school, you mean college?
All schools.
High school?
All schools.
Grade school?
All schools.
Kindergarten?
So wait.
All schools.
So
all right.
A fifth grader, seeing your speech today, you hope, when you're done talking, will pick up his little backpack and walk out and never come back.
Say, I quit this bitch.
Okay. But I thought you were encouraging people to get an education because you needed to get a job. Why are you saying the opposite now?
Because the recession-proof drugs, recession-proof jobs are, first of all, drug dealer.
Okay.
People always need drugs.
That is true.
Okay. Are you going to say that?
You don't need a career school for that.
Okay. Right. All right.
For the girls, hit the pole.
Hit the pole?
Yeah.
Hit the pole is the president's advice to the youth.
Well, look at Miley Cyrus.
Look at Miley Cyrus. That's
very
a good point.
Popular entertainer. Just did a pole dance.
She did on the Kids' Choice Awards.
On the Kids' Choice Awards.
Yeah, that happened.
And she's a huge, huge star.
Right.
So I think the girls need to hit the pole.
At what age?
As young as they can.
Okay.
10, 11.
You
start
have
training
young
now. Because eventually, you're going to get your big break.
Right.
At Jumbo's Clown Room.
Is this something you would encourage your young daughters to pursue, or do you want them a different life for them?
I just put a poll out in the Rose Garden.
Did you?
Oh,
for the girls to start working on.
Well, it's about time.
That's terrible.
And, of course, that's a predecessor to pornography.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's an excellent place for young women to start their careers.
Pornography.
Well, start with a poll. And then move on to the poll.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, you're just doing different things with it.
I mean, because let's face it, this country is screwed.
Right.
We are going to hell in a handbasket.
It seems like it, yeah.
And we got no hope.
Okay.
No
chance. Wait, but you're the hope guy, though. I thought that was your whole thing was hope.
Yeah, that's been beaten out of me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm done.
So soon?
We are circling the drain, people.
So just give up. That's your advice to the youth today.
Just grab that handle and flush away.
All right.
All right. All right.
Because we are done. So everybody, smoke up. Do some drugs. Right. Get those singles out because these girls don't work for free.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
That's a good point.
That's communism.
I could listen to that guy all day, every day.
And that's the very definition of communism, too, by the way, is doing this and doing that. I mean, that,
that's true.
That definitely nails it. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. What if I were to tell you that in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to world premiere a brand new song from a band we like very much, known as The Bravery? How about that? And then we're going to talk to their lead singer, Sam Endicott. Bravery, new music, and new interview coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph has the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
It's communism.
Communism.
I love him.
When did America get filled with characters from King of the Hill?
That's a good question.
I watch television. I say it's like those guys in King of the Hill who stand against the fence drinking beer on that animated show.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be a joke.
But I think it's good that the media has the address and phone numbers of these people because they keep going back. It's so and it's amazing. Endlessly entertaining. Communism.
Communism. I don't know, Hank. I think it's communism.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies over the Labor Day weekend, shall we? Not a big box office weekend. Most of the movies sort of fizzled because people were doing other things. Like me, for instance.
What were you doing?
I spent the 3-day weekend rebuilding my garage.
Yeah!
Why? What happened to it? Did you have a new house?
Awesome. I have a new house with a new garage, but there's no storage, and there's no workbench, and there's no there.
Mm-hmm. So you put a tool belt on and went
to
work?
So I built some cabinetry, and wow. I built hanging wall cabinets and base cabinets as well, and then I put a brand new laminated countertop on top of those cabinets, custom built it to fit a little fridge we've got there in the corner.
Do we need pictures of this? I mean, would we laugh?
Put up some pegboard so I could hang my hand tools up there.
Okay.
Quite impressed by the time it was all done.
Really?
It was quite,
you don't strike me as a handyman. I got to be honest.
Are you kidding me? I'm a power tool nut. I will use any excuse to break out the circular saw.
Wow.
I love it. If I could do anything else, if I wasn't doing this, I would like to be a carpenter.
I'm with Bean. I don't see that.
Well, I work around the house as much as I can. Whenever I can find these little projects.
Me too, but I always end up breaking stuff.
Usually I do too. I usually have one horrible moment in every project. I go, I just put that in upside down. Yeah. One of those kind of moments when you realize you have to start from scratch. But it was relatively trauma-free this time around.
Wow, how about you?
Impressive. Very excited.
I just figured when I heard you were doing work on the house that you your Batman collection had overflowed its specially built room and now it was expanding to other parts of the house.
Well, that's very close to happening too, but the wife won't give me any more space.
Yeah,
but even that room, I put new molding in and stuff like that around the doors.
What happened to you?
What happened to our little Ralphie that we thought
we
knew?
I've always done that.
How you deal with Ralph? That's a side of you we've never known.
Well, there you go. Just goes to show you, people are still full of surprises.
Yeah.
You use any Billy Mays products while you're out there?
I use Mighty Putty. I held up the shelf while I was drilling them in.
All right, let's talk about the weekend's movies. Final Destination was number one at the box office this weekend. Inglourious Basterds was number two, just nosed out by Final Destination. All About Steve and its debut came in at number three. Then Gamer, District 9, Halloween 2. Julie and Julia was number seven. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra was eight. Time Traveler's Wife was ninth. And then Extract, speaking of Mike Judge and King of the Hill, the new film from Mike Judge was 10th in its debut weekend.
Can I tell you my complaint about Gamer?
Sure.
They had a super huge, hideous, ugly, shirtless, fat bastard on it.
Sweet.
And a lot of close-ups.
Oh.
Just really as close as the camera could get to the fat. Mm. Yes.
And but is he supposed to be repugnant? Is he a Jabba the Hutt type character where you just,
you're supposed to be grossed out by it? Yes. And it works.
Well, there you go. So, yeah. Effective filmmaking on their part.
I threw up on the
circus freak.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of movies, I have got maybe one of my best ticket giveaways ever that I'm going to do right now. This is a pretty special event.
Would you say this is it?
This is it.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. This is the final curtain call.
All right. These are red carpet screening tickets, and I've given passes like this away to special red carpet movie events. But
all
listen to this.
Right.
This is the red carpet world premiere of a movie called Jennifer's Body.
All right.
Okay. This stars the lovely and talented Megan Fox. It's going to be down at Grauman's Chinese Theater, one of my favorite places in the world to see a movie. They're having a special Q&A with the cast, so you'll get to talk to Megan Fox. And while you're down there, oh, nothing, Panic at the Disco will give a special performance at the red carpet world premiere.
Are you sure?
So you get to check out Panic at the Disco, go to a special Q&A with the cast, and see Megan Fox, and see the brand new movie Jennifer's Body before anybody else does. This is all part of the same package. You get to go.
That's an email.
I've got 5 pairs of these tickets to give away, and I will give them to the first 5 callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer to this trivia question.
Ah.
If you're a Megan Fox fan, this should be a no-brainer for you. Give me Megan Fox's hometown. Name of the town she was born in. Town and state. Megan Fox, call now. 1-800-520-1067.
Wasn't she handed down perfectly formed from God?
She did not drop from the heavens.
Okay.
Although she sure looks like she did.
All right.
She was born just like the rest of us.
All right.
In a city.
Guys, do we need to send the king out for a repeat interview with Megan Fox? Give him another opportunity?
I think he's covered it all.
Yeah,
though,
do we need more?
Quite frankly, from the first one, I think he really did it all.
It was pretty exhaustive when he spoke with her on the red carpet last time.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's nothing left.
I have one question. Hello.
By the way, Psycho Mike and Dave are doing the red carpet for Jennifer's Body, so there is going to be a take two for Dave, and he's going to find out everything else that we need to know about Megan Fox.
He's probably just going to say goodbye to her this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get to say goodbye last time.
One question for us to ask you. Goodbye. That'd be awesome.
It's getting more like communism saying we're going to do this and do that.
That is true.
Yeah. People are still talking about the Michael Jackson funeral, believe it or not. Apparently, not everyone in the family was happy the way it turned out.
Wait, not everyone in the Jackson family is happy?
No.
All right.
Catherine almost didn't go.
Why?
That's Michael's mom.
That's his mother.
Almost didn't go?
Almost didn't go to the funeral. She said she had to be coerced into attending because it was going to be such a public circus.
Yeah.
And she's not happy with how her kids are behaving. She said she's had to put a stop to a lot of the antics being carried out by the brothers and sisters of Michael Jackson because they're all brokering deals to profit off of his death, and she, frankly, is disgusted.
Wow.
But she would have missed the opportunity to see Corey Feldman once again dressed up in a military outfit.
It just is sad on every level.
Yeah.
I mean,
how does it end other than that? I mean, for him, for a guy who made himself a spectacle his whole life.
Right. But you don't have to follow suit if you're the family. If you really love somebody.
That family?
You don't have to do it.
That family?
I'm saying.
Effed up beyond all other families.
The mom apparently sees things pretty clearly. I wouldn't put it in Joe's hands. I would put it in Dad's hands to run things. But she seems like a decent sort.
Yeah.
Anyway, Randy, the Jackson brother, said he is furious at the media's intrusion at the funeral Thursday. They didn't give the family any time to mourn privately, he said.
Isn't he one of the ones that is in that reality show?
You threw a party at the Staples Center! Screw you!
Yeah, that happened.
And you mourned privately the first 4 years after he died.
Well,
I barely remember Michael Jackson now.
They weren't through mourning.
Wow.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
We have a winner. Let's see if Omar. Hey, wait a minute. Omar can't win. He works here.
Right. Different Omar.
Different Omar. Let's see if he knows where Megan Fox was born. Omar, what's Megan Fox's hometown?
That is Rockwood, Tennessee.
Rockwood, Tennessee!
Yay!
That's communism right there.
Where that guy's from.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Dude.
You're the winner.
You're going to be at a place where Megan Fox is also going to be. Do you understand that?
I know. Sweet.
All right.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but also congratulations to Frank and Andrew and Veronica and Daniel. Ooh, Veronica. Two hot chicks in the same place together. This is flies in the face of my conventional wisdom, which is that nothing good has ever come out of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Well, I have to rethink my whole life plan.
Yeah.
Because apparently she is from Rockwood, Tennessee. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? David Arquette is 38 years old today. Actress hostess Brooke Burke
is
38. She's all right, that Brooke Burke.
She is all right.
Yeah. Here's the other one that's hot, too. Brooke. Brooke Burns?
Brooke Burns,
yeah. She's good, too.
Yeah.
Two of them should get together.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Henry Thomas from E.T. He played Elliot in that movie many years ago. Is 38 years old today. Lorenz Tate turns 34. Pink.
What are you saying?
Pink?
Oh.
She's 30 years old today. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas from... Home Improvement. He was one of the little kids on that show. Is now 28 years old today. By the way, I want you to know I've done Pink's birthday twice today.
I know. I'm waiting.
And I haven't heard Larry King say, what's with the pink? I haven't heard any of it.
Next hour?
Oh, something to look forward
all
to.
All right, let's tease it over.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
World premiere right there of The Bravery called Slow Poison at 7:09.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Why is that song so awesome, by the way?
No answer.
I want to hear that again.
I guess that's kind of a rhetorical
never an
question.
Answer. Well, if there was anybody I could think of that we could talk to who might know more about that new Bravery song than we do. Oh, wait, Sam Endicott, lead singer of the band, on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. So your song is on the radio, and so it begins. New album, new tour. You got a lot of work ahead of you the next couple of years.
Right on.
let's talk about Stir the Blood. I mean, it's been a couple of years since the last one. Tell us a little bit about what went into making the new album.
We went up to an abandoned church in the woods of upstate New York and just hung out there for a few weeks. And we worked with my friend John Hill, who's this amazing producer. He's done stuff with Santa Gold and MIA mm-hmm. and a lot of indie rock bands. And so we just kind of lived in this church for a few weeks and just made a lot of weird noises.
How did you pick that as the location for doing your new CD?
We wanted a place that was kind of isolated.
Right.
And where we could live there and just, you know, work on it all day and all night. And it has a lot of great old equipment there as well.
Got to tell you, though, I mean, if that were me and I were moving into a place like that, you know, you hook up the Xbox 360 and you order pizza and you really, 2 weeks in, you haven't started.
But, yeah, that's the danger. That's the threat.
Yeah.
But we got into it. And it has a very, like, Blair Witch vibe up there.
Cool.
So it's kind of creepy. And that's a good inspiration.
do songs and new ideas come easy to you guys, or is it like pulling teeth when it comes time to lay down a new record?
You know, coming up with ideas is easy. Finishing songs is such a pain. Like, it's just a chore. You know,
yeah.
Like forcing it to. You know, we always have a million songs we begin, and to narrow it down to 11 is always, it's a real pain.
And I would imagine, and I have no musical ability whatsoever, Sam, and I am just in awe of the creativity that you guys have, but I would imagine that it's pretty easy to write a song. It's probably not that hard to write a good song. It's very difficult to write a great song, and that is the hard work, and that's the dedication, and that's the hours and hours and hours of fine-tuning and doing, you know, getting a lot of great ideas and inspiration and really turning it into something special rather than just something that you listen to and doesn't make any kind of impact.
That's true. What's funny is whenever you hear, like, the first draft of a song or just any song that someone writes, like a 13-year-old writes or something, it's always 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this odyssey, this, like, epic thing, and it's just and what takes time is making it concise, like efficient,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Like squeezing it down into a song that makes sense.
We are speaking with Sam Endicott from the band The Bravery. The new album is going to be called Stir the Blood. It is out on the 10th of November. We just world premiered their brand new song and a big tour to kick off September 18th, starting at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. Hey, speaking of tours, I read one article about the last night of your Green Day tour. You opened for Green Day a lot this summer.
Yeah.
Tell people listening who may not have heard what those guys did to you and what you had to play through that night.
Well, Green Day is kind of a pranky bunch, especially
sure.
Trey Cool.
Sure.
And so we got on with those guys really, really good. And the last night, you know, it's kind of tradition to prank each other.
Right.
Or at least, you know, to prank the opening band. And we thought that they would do something, and we didn't know what to expect. And basically, they took the entire book of pranks that you would do and just did the entire book at the same time. So every prank you could possibly think of, they did at the same time. And you can YouTube it. It's pretty amazing.
It involved fireworks was part of it.
They were like shooting these like cannons, these like grenade, you know, like pyrotechnic grenades at us while
good.
We were playing.
Good.
And then they had like 15 like people in the like costumes on stage dancing around.
Good.
Then they had a bunch of male strippers come out, and then they had like a super soaker spraying us, and then they shot 100 pounds of popcorn, like rained down on us for like two songs.
So they made it rain is what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing. You should check it out.
So, and of course, your job, you and the band, you're supposed to just play through and act cool like it. Right. They can't affect you, right?
You're trying, but you're literally up to our knees in like toilet paper and popcorn, and like, and you could barely move. But yeah, we muscled through it.
Made it through.
That's unbelievable. All right, Sam, let's talk about some of your extracurricular activities a little bit. We could not believe that it was you that was partly behind this new Shakira song,
because
no one saw that coming. Was it you didn't write it for her, right?
What happened was me and John Hill, we work on stuff together. You know, we did this out. We co-produced the Ray Ray album, and Shakira was talking to him about making some beats, and so he and I laid down some stuff, and we did the music for She-Wolf, and she liked it a lot, and wrote the lyrics to it.
She is a hot little midget, isn't she?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're with me. Okay.
Got to be the best video of the year, too, She-Wolf.
It's crazy.
At least you have an excuse to watch it over and over again. You can explain, hey, but that's my song. I don't have as good an excuse when my wife walks in. But, man, congratulations on that. That is an awesome song. And people are saying, people can't figure out because it's Italian disco, basically, is what it is. Like, where does that even come from you, you know?
Well, I think, you listen to the Bravery bass lines. It's a lot of that stuff, kind of disco influence bass lines. That's the stuff that I love. And that's where it came from.
Good times. Well, it's great to have you guys back, Sam. We're so excited. I just heard that new song for the first time, and I can't wait to hear it again. It sounds like you've outdone yourself.
Right on. Thank you.
And if you'd like to get tickets for the – you're going to be in October and in November. You're going to be playing a bunch of little places, Chicago, Baton Rouge, San Bernardino, which you should cancel, Anaheim, Tucson, Los Angeles, a lot of cities. And if people want to buy tickets, they go to your website first?
Yeah.
TheBravery.com?
Yeah.
And then eventually you go to Ticketmaster, and that's when you get all the charges that add on to the top of it.
The new album is called Stir the Blood, out on November the 10th. And, of course, the song we just world premiered called Slow Poison you'll be hearing again. Sam, I know that we'll see you again before the year is up, but it's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for your time, dude.
Right on. Thank you.
The Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. This is our answer machine that we have set up 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the radio, and it sounds a little something like this. September 19th, of course, is Talk Like a Pirate Day. And once again this year, Kevin, I believe you have planned your vacation accordingly. Do I have
correct.
That right?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't enjoy that so much.
You're going to be missing it again this year.
Although I think it is a Saturday this year as well.
Oh, is it?
Okay. I don't see you doing anything either.
Oh.
Wow. That's kind of a bummer when it lands on the weekend.
Not at all.
So, another thing that I think we should add to the list of things that make you a douchebag should be... listening to Nickelback.
All right.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. We were having a call-in topic where girls were telling us what is an instant douchebag message to them, and a lot of guys don't realize it. We were talking to Kevin Smith, director, actor, writer, and being the man who's in the biggest rush in life, said something that this caller wants to comment on.
Okay, which one of you boneheads was talking to Kevin Smith and said, that's a little bit too much TMI?
TMI, a little too much TMI.
I didn't say too much TMI. That would be redundant. I did call him out on TMI with how often he writes about and in what detail he describes sex with his wife, because that forces me to consider Kevin Smith naked, and I don't want that. That's all I was saying.
Right. But I think the caller's point is TMI.
Yeah, how much of a hurry are you in that you can't say too much information?
Yeah.
It's a lot of syllables, man. I've only got so many breaths left in me. I'm dying slow.
Speaking of Bean, he was quick to jump on the make jokes about DJ AM train.
Oh,
how
yeah.
Dare
that
you.
Made us all uncomfortable last night.
How dare you.
He scores! Look what he did for DJ AM. Bean, you're such a jackass.
Yeah, Bean.
We are doing.
Hey, life's for the living.
We are doing Breakfast with Muse on Monday morning from New York City, and we were giving away trips for people to join us. Tomorrow we're heading to New York City, and then Monday we're doing our Breakfast with Muse. And this caller was very, very close when we took caller 20.
Wow.
Perhaps you should not be trying to win anything, my dear. You're a little too wrapped up in it.
Update on midget sex.
Sex with the midget last night. It was the best. I love midgets. Midget sex.
Yeah.
All right,
thanks. Spinners.
Thanks for the update.
So, Leek is black, huh?
We had a caller last week that was convinced Lisa Mae is black.
Only saw a photo.
Really, no one less black than Lisa.
Aww.
Man, that puts a whole new meaning to eating out at Starbucks. Yeah. I'd like to have one of your muffins. Starbucks muffin would be good right now. I'd let you dip my scone in your latte. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to suggest you're not very good at that.
Oh, my God.
I'd like to suggest that you are bad when it comes to that.
Don't do that again.
Yeah.
That is not sexy.
That is not at all. We don't even know what you're talking about.
Hey, it's time to play. Do you have better taste than a fifth grader? Okay, we just heard the song Fireflies. Did you like it?
No.
And what do you think K-Rock should play instead?
By the way, we're getting mocked here by what sounds like a four-year-old girl.
Cool. Linkin Park. Maybe Evanescence.
There you have it, folks. Sounds like most of the callers who come in to request don't have better taste than a fifth grader.
Ouch. That was a great, great skit. Thanks for calling in with that. And finally, a parody of a Kings of Leon song.
I'm running around trying to find this coat, but it costs too much. They want me to pay $700, but I only want to pay $50. You know I'm going to choose somebody.
Wow. You are not ready for Flight of the Conchords, my friend. I'm hoping we'll have Derek Fisher here in a minute from Los Angeles Lakers talking about his new book, Character Driven.
We're going to have him in 2 minutes, and that leaves us enough time to play the Death Cab for Cutie parody.
We've already played that. That's fine. We don't need to play that again.
Well, we haven't played it today, and we're getting a lot of requests for it. So since Derek Fisher's not ready right now...
But that's Mike's pee pee poo poo song, though.
Nope.
That's the farty song.
Yes,
come
that's
on.
One of
the songs.
Yes. You know,
come on, Lisa.
You.
Lisa, you're with me, right on this?
I do not like the pee pee poo poo.
There are people eating right now.
Oh, enjoy.
Ooh, that smell! The odor you'd find in hell when you eat Taco Bell. Then you lift your cheek and blast. In air, singeing my nostril hairs, just like a roadside flare of organic anal gas. The second you decide to release that cyanide, everybody else would wisely run away and hide. But I'll stay there and smell it, yeah, I mean it from my heart. That I will follow you after you fart.
All right. No Derek yet.
Crop dusting. My lungs you're polluting. The beans that you're digesting smell like garlic wrapped in balls. Lethal butt. From all the cheese you've cut. Why are the windows shut? You're peeling paper from my walls. There's tears inside my eyes as soon as I first realize that methane gas is leaking out from underneath your thighs. A blue flame-filled inferno would be made with just a spark. But I'll still follow you after you fart. Yeah, I'll still follow you after you fart.
Yeah.
You guys proud? You guys happy with that?
Excellent.
I think so. Mike, do you do your own singing, playing guitar, and farting all at the same time, or is that a studio overdub trick?
One man band.
Very impressive.
All at the same time.
All right, so that's out of the way for today. We can move on. Ladies and gentlemen, how about a point guard from your world champion Los Angeles Lakers? He's number two on the court, number one in your heart. Oh. I've always wanted to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, Derek Fisher.
Winning a championship is a great honor.
Fisher looking. Fisher puts up the three. Ties the game. Derek Fisher ties it with 4.6 remaining.
We feel privileged, you know, each time we put on a Laker uniform.
They get it to Fisher. He scores!
You know, I have a responsibility to my team, you know, that if I'm going to be on the floor, you know, then I have to make a difference. Difference.
Up top to Fisher, straight on three, puts it in. Derek Fisher with another clutch three.
What makes this title special for you?
Everything. My family, this team, this organization, this city, this league, everything about this game is what makes the night special.
Hey, Derek Fisher. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Good to talk to you. I know my man Kevin over there has been miserable this summer without the Lakers. He can't wait for you guys to get back.
I'm miserable with you, Kevin.
So you don't need the work. What makes you give up your summer vacation and spend it writing a book? It seems like there have to be a lot more fun things to do with your time.
No, you know what? I've been working on this book, man, for, you know, a year and a half or so. And, you know, the great positives that took place, you know, with the ending of the season and the championship and everything, you know, it was a late addition, actually, to the book. It was just about complete, you know, as the season was unwinding. And, you know, the ending was just something to remember, and obviously we had to make it a part of the book, but I'm probably going to have to write another book to cover, you know, this past season and all the great things that have happened this summer, man, but definitely been busy, that's for sure.
So where are you coming from? Is it that you were able to find inspiration to help you achieve your goals, and that's the message that you want to pass along to others? Is that what this is all about?
Yes, some of it is you know, where I found inspiration, but, you know, a lot of it is, which is why the book is titled Character Driven, you know, Life Lessons in Basketball, is because I really just wanted to share, you know, all of my experiences, you know, as a kid in college and high school, you know, as a pro on the court, you know, family experiences off the court, and kind of sum all those things up, but use my example and my experiences and my stories in a way that hopefully readers could relate to and appreciate and say, huh, that I went through a similar thing. Even though, and basketball is the backdrop, but it's really about life and the lessons that we learn in life. And for me, you know, basketball has been the backdrop. For somebody else, it's radio. For somebody else, it's childcare. For somebody else, it's, you know, we, with all these wildfires, you know, we have guys that are men and women fighting fires. Everybody's backdrop is different. But I feel like my life's experiences, as I describe them in this book, everybody can relate to.
I'm glad that my life experience is not a playoff series on the line and 2 seconds, and I'm standing outside the three-point line and they give me the ball. I think I would brick it, and then I would feel bad for life.
No, I think you'll be surprised. You would do quite well.
I'll bet you I wouldn't.
You know, it's so funny, Derek, because you are known as, you know, Mr. Clutch. You're the guy that, you know, you and Kobe both are guys that you want to have the ball in those moments that Kevin just described. And I was wondering if you need that pressure in order to be able to be at your best. Like, did you wait until the morning, you know, the night before you had to turn in the manuscript to sit down and start furiously typing because you wanted to feel like you had a gun to your head?
No, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, because I do think that there is a valid point there in terms of the need that some of us have to feel that we have to accomplish something, and we have to accomplish it now or else. You know, there's a part of that in me for sure where, you know, I need to feel as though, you know, what I'm doing or attempting to do is needed. We have to get it done by a certain time.
Right.
You know, there can't just be this arbitrary end that is unknown. So yeah, I can definitely relate to what you're saying, but you know, I wish that the book could have been written that way, because there were many more, you know, manuscript, you know, meetings and conference calls and, you know, redlining and going over and putting this in, taking this out. And, you know, there were some things on a personal level that after reading it when it was finished, I may have decided, you know, maybe I didn't want that in. But it's you know, once you decide to write a book, there are some things that, you know, you just go with. And, you know, there's some very personal things in it. And, you know, I'm hopeful that people can appreciate that this is not just a book about, you know, tying my shoes in the Laker locker room.
Right, right. By the way, just for the record, I would read that as well. But, okay.
was there a person or an event or something that was hardest for you to write about, Derek? Something that was difficult or painful but that you felt needed to be in the book in order to be truthful?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I mean, most people know the story about, you know, what we've gone through with my daughter and her eye cancer and everything that had happened there. And that's a big part of this book, but also touch on, you know, experience as a kid, especially right now with President Obama in office, you know, I touch on the experience as a kid, you know, where there were really some race tensions, with the kid that I was friends with, for a few years. And then there was another kid that moved into our neighborhood. Both of those kids were white kids, and I was a black kid, and it seemed like the relationship between myself and my friend changed when this other kid moved in, and he had a different feeling about black kids and families, and so just kind of dealing with, you know, that and how I dealt with that, you know, I kind of touched on in the book, and, you know, those are things that, you know, I think a lot of people, black and white and Latino and Asian, can relate to, because, you know, on some levels, in particular, like I said, with President Obama in office now, you know, there are things about race that we're comfortable talking about. There are things about race that we're not comfortable talking about. But the more people in the public eye that we have that are comfortable talking about it, then, you know, I think it can help.
You ever feel like phoning up any of those kids from your youth and going, well, four championships and 13-year pro, and
it's going pretty good.
How are things for you?
I don't think about calling them up, you know, but I do use those type of experiences, as well as, you know, experiences that from other people, adults, that I consider to have been bad experiences or a situation where, you know, I was probably told I couldn't do something. Those are all things I use to continue to motivate myself to want to be better, to want to play another season, to want to win another championship. And so, you know, even though it was negative then, or it could be considered bad then, it all works towards good. So I don't mind at all.
How many years do you see yourself playing, Derek?
Man.
10?
I wish I could see the end. Right now, I don't see it. I know I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning.
15 years? 20?
You should stay as long as Brett Favre stays.
Yeah, no, 3 years is a fair number to say.
The book is character-driven. It's out today. You can meet Derek at Barnes & Noble in Los Angeles on next Tuesday, a week from today, at 7 o'clock. And then he's going to be at Borders Books and Music in Northridge on Thursday at 7 o'clock. And then a week from that Thursday, the 24th, he's going to be in Los Angeles at the ESO One bookstore.
You can get all the information at DerekFisher2.com. That's the website. Again, the book in stores and available online today, called Character Driven. Derek, congratulations on another championship. It's great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling in.
All right, man. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
With an easy-to-use TomTom GPS, all you have to do is plug in an address. TomTom finds the fastest route and guides you with clear-spoken directions. TomTom, go confidently. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
So you're telling me that you punch in an address, mm-hmm. and then TomTom will give you directions to that address?
And then you go confidently.
Wow.
No way.
That's it works.
Have you guys amazing technology.
Have you guys heard
anything about this?
You and your futuristic technology.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:56.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Psycho Mike is in a movie. You can see it at kevinandbean.com. We'll talk to the man whose technology made it possible coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Can you see it? Can you really see it?
Don't shake your head no like that, Ralph.
Last time I checked, you could, but it may have changed since then.
Yeah. I heard they took it off their
website. Sure, there's that.
I heard there was a bootleg copy up there now.
Oh, sweet. Excuse me. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this long Labor Day weekend, shall we? The Final Destination was number one. Just by a little bit, though, $15.4 million. Over Inglourious Bastards, $15 million, made it just number one. All About Steve was third, then Gamer, District 9, Halloween 2. Julia and Julie, J&J was seventh. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra was eighth. Time Traveler's Wife and Extract, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Chris Brown's upset with Oprah Winfrey.
Uh-oh.
Because
you don't want
she
him upset.
Dedicated a show about domestic violence to all the Rihannas of the world after he allegedly beat the snot out of her.
Yeah.
He's upset with that. He said that was like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
From Oprah, because I did a lot of stuff for her, like performed at her school in Africa. Well, then she should have turned the other way when you beat up a girl then.
So that makes up for it? She should have said, okay, no problem?
Oh, you know what? I'm not for violence on women, but it's Chris, and he's a buddy, so
we just
won't talk about it.
It's curious that he used the term, it's a slap in the face,
oh,
by the way, because
no,
of all people, he should know what a slap in the face is.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I've gained weight.
All right, thank you, Oprah.
You sure have. Speaking of violence against women, here's one I can get behind. Sean Merriman of the San Diego Chargers.
Excellent!
Was arrested Sunday morning after he allegedly roughed up Tila Tequila.
Hey!
Bitch.
She claims he choked her and then physically restrained her when she tried to leave his apartment. She was hospitalized.
It's just not right.
She made a citizen's arrest for abuse and for kidnapping when he wouldn't let her leave the apartment. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Sean Merriman said she was arguing with him, she was loaded, and she tried to get behind the wheel of her car and drive home, and he was trying to keep her from getting in the vehicle. That's the only physical restraint he said he used on her.
Did he use a pan?
Someone did. A long
oh, man.
Time ago. Look at her face. I'm just saying, if you got a chance to choke out Tito Tequila and you don't take advantage of it, you're no friend of mine. That's all I got to say.
What's he doing with her?
Tila says that she wasn't drunk because she's allergic to alcohol and never touches the stuff.
Oh.
Despite the fact that onlookers said the two of them were seen hours earlier at the Stingery nightclub in San Diego drinking heavily.
Hmm. That's true of me, too, by the way.
I'm allergic to alcohol, too.
What are you going
to
do?
I drink it and I break out in fun.
What?
Put it in the file, please, Mike.
That was David King Mexico gave me that one.
Oh, no, he did.
Yeah, he did.
And you used it?
I laughed
did
hard.
Did he dare you to use it? Does he owe you money now?
Maybe it was Dave's delivery, but I laughed hard when he said that.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
I'm allergic to alcohol, too. I break out in fun. Yeah, maybe it wasn't the delivery.
Mm.
And sad news in the world of rock and roll. Echo and the Bunnymen keyboard player Jake Brockman is dead.
What?
Jake Brockman, the keyboardist for Echo and the Bunnymen?
I think he heard.
Oh, I'm sorry. But maybe he missed it.
I don't know why he said what, but
he is dead. Apparently, he was killed in a motorcycle crash last Tuesday in the on the Isle of Man in the UK. Here is a bit of unintentional funny irony. Jake's motorcycle collided with an ambulance.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Just saying. It's a little ironic that you die being hit by an ambulance. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
Yeah. This is just months, by the way, after drummer Pete DeFritis was also killed in a motorcycle crash. So,
dude.
It's not a good month to be an Echo or a Bunny Man.
It's true. Either one.
Either one of those is not what you want to be. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement is 28 years old.
Okay, explain the pink.
Nope, didn't even get there yet.
Wow.
Oh, too early? Okay.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas we were talking about from Home Improvement. Oh, is 28 years old today. Lorenz Tate is 34.
Yeah, okay, explain the pink.
Not yet. He's going to say the word pink, Bean.
Yeah, that'll be your cue.
What I listed for.
When I talk about pink, then you play the clip where Larry King says explain
got
the pink.
Got it. I'm standing by. I'm ready for you, buddy.
Henry Thomas from E.T. is 38 years old.
Okay, explain the pink.
I saw that coming like a freight train on a dark, dark night. Brooke Burke, actress and host, is 38 years old today. David Arquette of the Acting Arquettes is 38 years old. And singer, Pink.
Okay, explain the pink.
She is a singer and also the wife of Carrie Hart. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, speaking of Kevin and Bean, you going to get Beatles Rock Band first tomorrow or get the Beatles box set of the remastered albums? Kevin, have you decided which one you're going to do first?
I think I'm going to not do either of those because they
that's right.
The Beatles.
That's right. I forgot you hate the Beatles. Adam Sessler, our friend from G4, is going to be here tomorrow telling us all the ins and outs of Beatles Rock Band. Jay Moore on the program. Later in the week, we'll talk to Bob Saget. Adam Carolla will be here. Sal Masakella. And how about this, ladies and gentlemen? Jay-Z, Friday morning, right here.
Yes.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's turn our attention to Psycho Mike, the movie star. Apparently, there is a company called U-Star that gives you the opportunity to be in your favorite hit films. It is available in stores starting today at Best Buy locations. Good let's buy. Find out what it's all about. Todd Unger joins us, Vice President of Marketing for U-Star, and that's Y-O-O-S-T-A-R. Hey, Todd.
Hey there. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot for joining us. What is U-Star, bearing in mind that 99.999% of the people listening have never heard of it before?
Well, you actually described it pretty well. It is a system that lets you put yourself into your favorite movies. It takes green screen technology that, you know, has previously just been available in the movie or TV industry and lets you plug that right into your computer and hooks you up with great movie clips. And through our webcam and the software allows you to film yourself right back into the clip.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I know that they've been going leaps and bounds in recent years in terms of movie making equipment, cameras that are high def that are affordable now, and editing suites that are, you know, that are affordable. So people have been able to do a lot, but this is the first time it's ever been able to you've ever been able to interact with the actual professional movies, I guess.
Yeah, it is revolutionary, and it brings to, you know, brings together a bunch of different things that really have never been possible before. I mean, part of it is the digital technology. We are able to kind of go in there and remove in some ways digitally the actors and the voice tracks from those films so that you can put yourself back in. The cameras themselves have gotten to a point where the quality looks great, and then there is a social platform that lets you share it, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, if anybody out there has played Rock Band or Guitar Hero, which I'm sure you have, and I have myself, I mean, you know that kind of sitting around and playing with content like that you love is a really good time. And here you can hook it up on your TV and watch yourself do it and have a great time. And then when you're all done with it, you got something that you've actually made and you can share it.
Now, Todd, we were going to talk to you about a week ago, and then we decided to hold off so that we could do it
right
and put up our own version of it online so that people could see it when we talk to you.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I wondered who created that one.
Yeah.
And now that mystery is solved. Mm-hmm. But, you know, part of what we do here is, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, there are acceptable ways of using using that content. And I guess, you know, we have, like any site, our own kind of terms of service, and we want to make sure that, you know, people have the kind of the freedom to kind of do what they want, you know, within the scope of what makes sense to put up on the site.
Yeah, because it says they can follow the script or deliver their own interpretation of the movie.
Yes.
So Psycho Mike did Coming to America, and
yes,
then it was up, and then so then we just checked like 5 minutes ago, and it turns out it's not up anymore.
It's less than up. It's,
yes. We'll call that one under review.
It's more not up than it is up. What happened there, Todd?
No, seriously, it's under review. I mean, you know, we have terms of service that you know, we say what is specifically acceptable and not acceptable. I mean, we have a community on the site, and mm-hmm. we have people that provide that content, and we're, you know, very concerned about both of those entities and making sure that they have a great experience.
Do you mind if I play the clip?
I'd prefer that you didn't.
Oh. Well, I'm sure you would, but we don't have same terms of contract that you do, right?
Here's what I'm trying to understand. So the videos that get uploaded to ustar.com, those are the ones that are under review. But if somebody buys the system for their own entertainment, their own home, they can do whatever they want with those scenes, right?
They can. I mean, in the privacy of your own home, and you can watch whatever clips you create on your own computer, and that's your business. But as far as our site goes... Oh. And our community goes, that is what we keep an eye on. And we don't.
What about our site and our community?
Todd, let me put it another way.
Yeah.
Coming to America was not a good movie. Wouldn't it have been better with some of Psycho Mike's ad-libbing about chocolate ass? I mean, seriously.
Well, I wouldn't agree, but... and I don't think many people would.
Is that was the problem, though, were the words chocolate and ass together?
That was what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Hey, what are the most popular movies that people use from U-Star?
I mean, there are a lot of great movies. Right now we have about 200 different scenes up. I mean, there's everything from, you know, what I'd call kind of contemporary classics to like the Blues Brothers and Animal House, Rocky, The Godfather, you know, stuff like Friday the 13th, Cabin Fever, classics like Casablanca. We've got a clip up from Mad Men right now, Terminator, all sorts of stuff.
Do you have Coming to America?
We do. I think you discovered that.
Yeah. Can I play the clip? I'd like to play the clip.
So, but Todd. It's a cool
show. Todd. Todd's just ignoring me now.
Yeah.
Todd.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for years, and I find it effective.
that's what my wife's approach with me is.
Come on.
But it's meant to be fun.
Okay.
It's meant to be
fun for a brief time, and then it's taken away, though.
No. I mean, yeah, again, it's you guys, you know, you do what you will in the privacy of your own home and on your computer. That's, you know, your business. But we want to make this a fun site. We want to be able to roll out lots more clips from lots of different movies. And so you can understand we're concerned for reasons that are good.
We're going to send Psycho Mike back in to do The Godfather so he can say, I'm going to make your chocolate ass an offer you can't refuse. It works in every movie. All right. The system is available at Best Buy locations. It is U-Star, Y-O-O-S-T-A-R, and that's the website too.
Actually,
U-Star.
We're available on U-Star.com. We'll be at Best Buy in a couple of months, and we're also on sale at Bloomingdale's right now. So
I apologize. They gave me wrong information. All right, Todd, thank you and your chocolate ass for joining us on the program today. We enjoyed it very much.
My pleasure.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That guy was not fun.
What the heck?
Here's the clip.
Hi.
The name's Akeem.
It's nice to meet you, Akeem.
I bet it is, baby. Well, here's the deal. I'm the garbage man around here, so got any garbage I can take out?
No, it's totally empty.
Well, when it fills up, call me. I'll come take care of it. Maybe that sweet chocolate ass of yours, too.
That's good to know.
That's it. That's it.
And?
Yep.
Couldn't do that?
Nope.
Huh.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. I was watching.
Can yes, I butt in just quickly?
Please.
Last
yes.
dude we talked to from U-Star. Yes. He was lying to us. And I didn't know it at the time.
What do you mean?
He said, whatever you do in the privacy of your own home with your computer is your business. But you can't save it to your own computer. You have to send it to their site. And then you have to view it from their site, which means if they want to censor it, they can. So it doesn't.
Oh, no.
You can't save it to your own computer. It isn't yours.
So what happened to us would happen to anyone?
Yes.
But you know Mike was planning on getting every one of these movies so he could turn it into a porn version of that movie. You know that.
Right, which we would have to allow them to look at and decide if they want to put up or not before we could see it.
Wow.
So that's good.
Okay. Well, good to know.
All right. Sorry, Bean. Back to you.
All right, so here's the topic on the table. Remember that terribly unfortunate situation with the model who was found in a suitcase in a dumpster in Buena Park with her fingers cut off and her teeth removed?
Yes.
That's not how you want to end up, right?
Terribly unfortunate even seems like an understatement.
I mean, that's not a great day for anyone, right?
Right.
That's a bad deal. Well, after that dude went on the run, remember, he ended up hanging himself in a hotel room in Canada. But after he went on the run, all of these women appeared on television that he had formerly dated and or been engaged to. And that's the part of the story that I was fascinated with and I think must happen all the time, where some guy does something or some woman does something, but generally it's a guy, and you go, wow, I used to be married to that guy, or I used to be engaged to that guy, or I used to live with that guy, or I used to date that guy. I never saw that coming. I never would have expected, because they had all these this parade of women going, yeah, he seemed like a nice, regular guy. I wouldn't have expected him to kill somebody and then flee and kill himself. What must it be like to be those people? That's the question I'm interested in.
Yeah, and how many of those came out? I wasn't watching that closely, but there were a lot of women that said they used to date that guy?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently he was quite the player, and of course he had been on a bunch of reality shows before, and he had at least two fiancées that I saw on
TV.
So these are women who thought they knew him well enough to marry him and were still stunned to find out that we may never know what really happened, but it's generally assumed that he's a murderer and then he killed himself. And
so someone broke off the engagement.
and then was sitting at home and turned on the news.
Brian Jenkins was found dead, hanging from a belt. The apparent suicide came just a week after the body of Jasmine Fiore was found stuffed into a suitcase and tossed into a dumpster in a Los Angeles suburb.
By the way, first of all, man or woman, reporter, can't tell. And second of all,
robot.
Second of all, she must have thought that could have been me.
Yes, of course, you'd have to think that.
I was going
to
marry that guy.
Now, I know that our listeners have lots of experience with lots of things, and I bet it's happened to them. Not to this extent. I don't expect anybody dated or was married to someone who ended up killing another person. But somebody who gains some infamy, or somebody who does something so incredibly, for what you think, out of character for what they are, and what it was like for you. Those are the stories we want to hear at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. The only story that comes to mind for us on this show is the engineer Chip. Remember Chip?
Yeah.
Now, Chip was a guy, it's funny because we're going to New York City tomorrow and we're going to be broadcasting from there for a few days around the Breakfast with Muse and the MTV Video Music Awards. And this guy named Chip that we used to work with every single year, I certainly wouldn't say we were friends, but we were acquaintances and we were colleagues.
Maybe four or five years in a row, wasn't it?
And This is a guy that we hung out with. And granted, we didn't spend, you know, any off time with him. But when it turned out that he was all over the news for running it, what was he running? Some sort of a...
It was a internet. It was one of those deals where he sent a video of himself naked to underage girls.
Yes, that's what it was.
It was really gross and creepy. Yes.
Really creepy. Yeah. And we were like, oh my God, we worked with that guy. For 4 or 5 years, it was Chip the Internet Predator.
Loving the Internet.
Chip! Hanging on every word.
Chip.
Masturbating for you.
Chip.
He's the Internet Predator.
And all I kept thinking is, I shook that dude's hand.
Yeah.
And I know where that's been.
And we watched it and we were like, oh man, we spent a week... Per year for 4 or 5 years with that guy, and he was dorky and odd, a strange guy, but he was an engineer, so we didn't think much about it.
Yeah, he's geek.
Because most engineers are super bright in one area and maybe not as socially adept as everyone else.
Right.
Well, that's the closest I could think of somebody that I knew that then ended up with the kind of infamy we're talking about, and it was a surprise to me. Has that happened to any of you guys? Mike, you must have dated some crazy bitches.
Nothing like that. Sure, girls I've been with have gone on to do bad things, but nothing that's gotten to the news.
Well, it's the sort of thing where you used to date or live with or whatever, and then infamy. Then all of a sudden they did something and you went, oh my God.
The closest I came was a guy I dated who moved to San Francisco and killed himself like a year later.
Wow.
Which is pretty shocking.
Did you break up with him?
Well,
is
that
why?
That sends him over the edge
pretty
much every time.
He couldn't have your chocolate ass? Is that what it was about?
That's what it was.
Don't say that on YouStar. Okay, so Lisa, when you heard that story, did you think, wow, I never saw that coming? I would never have predicted him for the type? Or was he a little bit more rosy even when you went out with him?
I mean, he seemed good, but he had a really rough background that he pulled himself out of. So, and then there was family problems after his parents died, family fighting over the will and stuff. So in a way, it wasn't surprising. But at the same time, you just felt like he had moved past that and triumphed.
Wow.
It was sad.
Hey, look at DJ AM's girlfriend, you know, from a week ago at the ceremony saying, you know, we were soulmates and we were talking about having kids together and he was so sweet and he woke me up, you know, with a kiss every morning and brought breakfast in bed. Never would have ever, ever, ever seen that coming. I mean, you really don't know what is going on in the rest of somebody's life beyond the part that you're familiar with, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what we're learning. But all right, phones are open. I don't know how we're going to do on this one because it's a little specific, but we got a lot of people out there who have been in a lot of relationships and a lot of people have gone on to do stuff afterwards, and we want to hear your stories. What were you shocked to find out your ex did after you guys broke up? 1-800-520-1067. A quick break. We'll take your calls when we come back on the Kevin and Bean. And here I was worried, by the way, that the Kevin and Bean listeners wouldn't come through. Wait till you hear and see some of these stories that people have about things that people did that they used to have a relationship with, used to be associated with. Listen to this from Marta. My dad had a business partner for 35 years. They were each other's best men at their weddings. They'd known each other longer than I'd been alive. One day, his wife calls my dad bawling that the FBI just arrested her husband because he'd been selling kiddie porn online. We had no idea. Imagine if your best friend of 35 years turns out to be that dude. That's not good times, right?
I'm reading a book by Stuart Copeland, and I know I don't usually start any sentence with I'm reading a book.
Yes.
but when he was a kid, he grew up with another kid in Lebanon, And his Stuart Copeland's dad worked for the CIA. He was undercover. Mm-hmm. And this other kid's dad was a double agent for Russia. And in the middle of the night, he just disappeared one night and gone forever.
Oh, my.
Because his cover was blown and his dad. And it's just like, when you find that kind of stuff out, wait a minute. Wow. Your dad was a my dad, too, was a CIA agent. This is the weirdest thing ever.
Wow.
All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You used to be friends with or in a relationship with a person, and then they showed up on the news, and boy, you couldn't believe it. Let's start with Ernie. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ernie, thanks for hanging on. This is an ex-girlfriend we're talking about, right?
Yes, this is an ex-girlfriend. What's going on? Oh, first of all, Lisa May.
Yeah.
All right, ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, she ended up being a drug mule.
A drug mule?
Yeah.
Now, do you have any idea if she was doing that while you were with her?
I know she was doing that while I was with her.
Oh, you do? Okay, well, I think we're looking for a surprise more than anything.
Well, you didn't know it at the time, though, right?
Yeah, I didn't know it at the time. Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, good. How did you find out?
Actually, the person who introduced us told me about 10 months later.
Okay.
So, she told me she saw her on the news.
She saw her on the news?
I didn't see her on the news, but...
And what happened to her? Did she go to jail?
She actually was deported. She went to jail, and then now she's living in Chile.
Wow.
Good times. Yeah, there are a lot of bad ways you can find out your girlfriend is a drug mule, by the way, when you stop and really think about feeling a plastic bag. All right, let's try Brandy on line two. Hey, Brandy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you got for us?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Lisa May.
Hello.
Your ex?
Yeah, I was dating this guy for a while. I wasn't too serious, thank God. But then I found out probably about 6 months later that he got arrested for pimping out his girlfriend.
Oh. For pimping out? So his girlfriend was a prostitute?
Yeah. Well, I guess they had turned her into one, and then he started with another girl after that.
Did he try that with you?
No, he didn't, thank God. But
hey, honey, I was thinking tonight, if we need some cash, I'm going to bring home a buddy from work.
If you were better looking, do you think he might have?
Come on, nice. Bean.
I'm just kidding, Brandy. I'm by your door. No, I'm just saying, why would he be going out with a hot chick and then not try to get her to make some money for him? That's all.
All right.
Just weird.
Well, we were in the States, so it wasn't very serious.
Well, thank God.
I understand. Thank you, Brandy. I was just teasing. I appreciate it. Let's try Michelle down on line six here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Michelle. Welcome. What's going on?
I used to live in Northern California when I was younger.
Right.
And then, I can't really tell you what the name of the county is because it would just totally give it away.
Okay.
But I used to date this substitute science teacher. And we dated for a while, and then we broke up. And about a month after we broke up, and now that I look back on it, it's totally obvious.
Should have been clear, yeah.
Yeah, but at the time, I was just like, no. But he got arrested for running out of his house with his child in the house, the largest meth lab in the county ever.
I saw that on TV. It's called Breaking Bad.
No, that's just a TV show. She's talking about real life. This happened.
Oh,
yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
And he used to sell the kids the drugs at the middle school that he taught at.
Oh, wow. So meth to middle school.
Now, yeah, Michelle, when you say after the fact you realize you should have caught the signals, what did you miss at the time you guys were dating?
Well, when I'd show up at his house, there were always a bunch of friends around.
Yeah.
Like, picking up stuff in the living room, and he had like this room that I was never allowed to go in, and he had a shed out back that he did stuff in that I was never allowed to see.
Hey, that's a good rule of thumb, by the way. Any guy with a shed is up to no good.
Wait a minute. How long did you date him? Because all of that to me is red flag, red flag, red flag.
For like 5 months.
Yes.
That's awesome.
You're the best.
Thank you for the call. Here's an email from Steve. It wasn't him. It was his brother. But the story is so great, I got to share it with you guys. This guy's brother helped his roommate move out. And the next weekend, he went into an electronics store and started shooting up the place and killed 7 people.
Wow.
This was a guy that he was living with until the weekend before. And then he snapped. That's not the thing you want to see. I mean, you never want to see that on the news, but imagine how you feel if you were living with that guy until Saturday.
Yeah, wow. That's rough. All right, let's go to Gus. Hey, Gus.
Hey, what's up, guys? Lisa May.
Hello, Gus.
Oh, man.
I'm with you, buddy.
All right, check it out. Watching the news, going to the papers, one of my friends in high school that I went to high school with, buddy of mine, popped. For putting cameras in the girls' bathroom toilets.
In toilets?
No kidding. That is not sexy.
That's not sexy at all. Inside the toilet.
Yeah, in the toilet.
Wow.
Ew. That's a fetish.
And needless to say, I mean, I knew the guy. I was like, I used to hang out with him and his brother.
Yeah.
And like now he's like in state prison, like serving time.
And you have all the videos?
Negative.
Negative.
Did he ever try to go to the bathroom with you?
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's talk to Devin, line 5, please. Hi, Devin. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell us your story.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
So my pediatrician, the last time I saw him, I must have been like 17. And about 5 years later, I saw he was all over the news. He drove his wife off one of the cliffs up in La Cañada.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What are you people doing? We thought we would get like two calls.
Yeah.
What was he like as a pediatrician? Did he seem like a sweet, kind man?
He was just a normal guy. He was, a tall, thin black guy. I mean,
He didn't have a temper or anything?
No, he was a totally cool guy.
Wow.
That's crazy. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's try Michelle, please, on line 7. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning.
What happened?
I have a pretty crazy story.
All right.
In high school, I dated this guy who ended up shooting and murdering someone right down from our small town. He tried to set the house on fire, but he was caught, and he's in jail serving life right now.
Wow.
My God.
This is just last year.
How long did you date him?
About 6 months during a summer in high school. And we turned on the news, and boom.
There he is, and you're like...
Internet, everyone called me out of the woodwork.
I'm sure.
Do you know that this happened to this guy? And, I mean, it sent shivers at me to know that I dated someone that shot a woman who was a mother in the head and then tried to set the house on fire.
Wow.
Now, did you break up with him due to anything that had to do with his temper or anything? Or was it a total shock to you?
He was really, really shy. He was really, really nice. Nothing. He was a little bit younger than me. It wasn't even like that. We just broke up because we were better friends. And
wow.
Yeah, he's in jail, 25 to life right now. This just happened last year.
Wow. Are you going to give him another chance when he gets out?
I'm married, no.
Okay.
But by then.
He gave me some crap about it. He said, how could you be with someone like that?
Yeah, let's check into your boyfriend's now. Your husband
signs,
now.
But you gotta think, am I just blind as a bat?
Yeah, you would think that there would be a lot of stuff you missed if there was somebody capable of doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Or do people, have a secret life and everybody would shock you with something that's going on in their life?
Well, people change, too.
But I don't think to that level. I don't think
No, not to the murderous level.
No.
I mean, no matter what most people have going on, they're not capable of a crime like that.
Right.
That's for sure. All right. That may be a good place to leave it. I guess the moral of the story is don't have any friends, don't date anyone, don't trust anyone. Right?
Keep yourself.
Yeah, I know I already sing for Linkin Park, one of the biggest rock bands in the world, but I need more. That's what Chester's saying with that band right there. It's not enough for me. Coming up the next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, we'll dip into Ralph's Video Vault. I understand you have a classic for us next hour, right, Ralph?
Oh, man. We got tipped off to this by a listener,
I don't think,
right?
I want to be the bad movie guy anymore.
You love it.
Really?
You're so good at it.
I used to love it, but last night was rough.
But you still are happy with it.
It's rough.
Plus, what's up with the new lead singer for the band Sublime? How do you feel about that? All that next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has the showbiz beat.
How about Gina Carano?
Yeah!
Congratulations to Gina. Despite her recent setback in her MMA career, she is signed on to play the lead in a new movie directed by Steven Soderbergh.
No kidding.
The film is called Knockout. And the script is about a girl from the wrong side of the tracks who uses her skills with her fists to make her way in the world.
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
Cameras are expected to start rolling on Knockout in late January. And apparently, it's going to take place all over the planet. She's going to be filming in Ireland and Turkey, and she probably won't be back in action in terms of the MMA world until the second quarter of 2010 because she'll be filming this movie. So her career will take a little bit of a backseat. It's happened before when she was Crush on American Gladiators. When she was doing that show, she had to stop fighting for a little bit. But look at her.
I know.
More movies, less punching, I say.
I'm with you.
I agree.
And
keep that face safe.
Naked, too, by the way. I think she should have to, be a girl from the wrong side of the tracks, use her skills to make her way in life naked. That's what I think should happen. But what do I know? Congratulations to, speaking of actresses, this Kristen Stewart article I read today just cheesed me off.
Why?
She said before she landed her breakout role in Twilight, Kristen Stewart was just about to give up on her dreams of an acting career.
Wait, how old is she?
She had been auditioning, Kevin, for almost a year with
success.
And she was going to pack it in. Screw you! Wow, a whole year before you got your big movie break, huh? Before you took a whole year? Gosh, I can see why you'd be so discouraged because you dedicated almost a year to your career.
Murder.
I got friends of mine who are going into like their 30th year.
Well, maybe your friends should move on as well.
I'm just saying they are dedicated to their craft, and that's what they're going to do with their lives. Whatever little bit roles they pick up here and there, that's what makes them happy.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Just saying it for a 12-year-old to say, oh, I tried it for a year. So screw this.
Look,
I'm a dedicated actress, but this is crazy.
We've had Kristen Stewart on the show before, and her personality makes her a force of nature, Ralph. You can't hold
that
kind of talent down. Come on.
She is like a human tornado. Is your son Harrison Ford's kid?
I wouldn't be surprised.
She said she didn't even want to try out for Twilight, but her mom made her. I'm going to punch
mom.
You right in the head.
Oh, man.
First time I see
just
you,
gets better
I'm
and better.
Just
it's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Yeah, I agree, communism. Sir. I agree.
That is
communism.
True.
Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend, shall we? Lackluster numbers, but somebody had to win, and that was Final Destination. This is the Final Destination. Final Destination.
This is it.
This is it. $15.4 million made it number one. Inglourious Basterds.
Have you seen it yet, Ralph?
I have. Loved it.
Great
loved
movie.
It. Loved
great
it.
Movie.
Yeah.
Loved it. And
loved
I loved it.
Brad Pitt,
I loved
so
it
great.
Too. And I'm loving it. Da 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 da.
Nice.
$15 million made it number two. All About Steve. It's all about
Lisa.
Steve, not all about Eve, man.
I hear
that's
you. Said.
Me.
I hear that's true.
Why shouldn't we look at you? You love all the crap
I
chick
don't
flicks.
Love every crap chick
flick. You do,
you
first
do.
Of all. It's science.
$13.9 million made it number three. Gamer was fourth.
Not violent enough for me.
Kevin wanted more brutal
violence. Not enough violence.
I mean, maybe she goes serve in Iraq. Maybe that's what you should do. Maybe you should sign up.
This was like twice Iraq.
You should get to the Hurt Locker.
Ridiculous.
That's where you belong.
Yeah, all right.
Gamer was fourth. District 9 was fifth. Halloween 2 was sixth. They've announced a third Halloween, by the way. Halloween 3D is coming out soon, but Rob Zombie will not be attached.
Aww. No kidding.
He announced it with this one. He said, look, this is my take on the Halloween franchise. I've done everything I wanted to do with it. I'm moving on.
This is it.
This is it. Julie and Julia was seventh. G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra was eighth. The Time Traveler's Wife and Extract rounding out your top 10 at the box office this very weekend. Let's take a look at the top 10 birthdays. What?
You do those 10s?
Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays for today. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 28 years old. Lorenz Tate.
Yeah! Oh, dog!
Celebrates his 34th birthday. He was in Crash, too. Wasn't he in Crash?
Yes, he was.
I think he was.
Luda's like buddy?
Yeah. Oh, is that who he is?
Partner?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Talented actor.
He's always O-Dog.
He is O-Dog. Henry Thomas from E.T. He was little Elliot who found E.T. and fed him Reese's Pieces. Now he's 38 years old.
Wow.
Now he's got, like, prostate trouble. And he was Elliot, man. That's not right.
You don't want to peak at that point in your life.
No.
Everything else is downhill.
Although we'll get him on the show and you can tell him that, Kevin.
Yeah.
You peaked when you were like eight. Screw
not.
You. Kill yourself.
I would not say that, Rob.
Henry Thomas is 38. Brooke Byrne. Nope. Brooke Burke is 38. And David Arquette is also 38. A lot of 38s. So I would bet that on the roulette wheel.
Okay.
If I was in Vegas today.
Which you're not.
Which I am not.
Right.
And I'm not going to be there anytime soon.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
From time to time, we send Ralph down into the basement with a video, and we say, don't come back until you've watched it. And it really is just like that. It's torture, right, Ralph?
It is brutal.
Welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
Yeah,
you love it.
I like to delve into the Video Vault from time to time to find some of the worst films ever made and to showcase them for you so that you know what to avoid.
What are some of the other ones that you've done?
Let me give you a quick... let me tell you how I found this one. This comes from listener Dylan McCormick. Ralph, the other night I watched the greatest movie ever made. Ever. Better than that gay-ass Christian fireman movie. Remember that?
Oh,
with,
yeah.
With the kid from...
Growing Pains?
Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains.
There you go.
Yeah. Or that Jessica Simpson movie.
Sure.
Which was a general Heartbreak.
Or Bait Chop. Did you do Bait Chop?
Bait Chop, I did, yeah. Private Benjamin. No, what the hell was her name? Blonde.
Blonde Dangerous?
I don't know. Beer for My Horses, Toby Keith movie.
That's right. That was one.
So you're saying these are high-quality movies?
Dylan says it's better than all of those. It's called Crazy Girls Undercover. I hope you haven't heard of it before, or else you're in for a treat. Well, all I'd say is go straight to hell, Mr. McCormick, for suggesting this movie. I caught it last night.
Is it on DVD?
It is on DVD. I hold it in my hand right now. Apparently, it is quite the popular film on Showtime these days as well.
Is that right?
That's where Dylan saw it and gave me the heads up. It is quite a piece of work. Let me explain something to you. Crazy Girls Undercover was written and produced by a gentleman named Norbert Ailman.
Okay.
Norbert Ailman also is the producer of the Crazy Girls Review at the Riviera Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
Ah, those Crazy Girls.
He produces the, it's a nude showgirl review in Vegas.
So that's not the Crazy Girl Strip Club. That's different.
Right. This is a onstage nude review where the girls sing and dance naked. And they strip, but it's high end at the Riviera Hotel and Casino. He's been the producer of this, this event for a long, long time. So he wrote this screenplay about the producer of the Crazy Girls Nude Review at the Riviera Hotel and Casino.
Where did he get his inspiration?
Also is a secret agent.
Yes.
And the crazy girls that work and dance at the review are also secret agents.
Sure.
And so they're the crazy girls undercover.
So they do undercover work.
You see?
Wow.
Okay. So that's the premise of this film. The star of the film is Clive Robertson, who is British or Australian or South African or something. He's got some honked up accent going on. And he plays Damon Archer, which I'm guessing is a better name than Norbert Ailman for a secret agent. Damon Archer is one of those freelance CIA operatives. You know them. The ones the CIA just call from time to time to do some freelance work.
The freelancers?
CIA loves to go outside the company to get their guys to do their secret agent in for them.
Sure.
He works with another freelance secret A operative named Casey Myers, played by Nikki Ziering.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who is Ian Ziering's ex-wife.
Is that right?
Way hot. Former Playboy playmate.
Sure.
Back in the day.
Right.
She works alongside of him. And in the opening of the film, they're going up against Ahmed Walid.
Uh-oh. Terrorist?
Who, when he comes up on the screen, they just put under him Ahmed Walid, bomb maker. I kid you not. That's the title they give him. So they in the very beginning, they defeat Ahmed Walid, and they disarm his bomb. And just when he's about to kill him, Damon Archer says, no, not today. And he doesn't kill this guy.
Oh,
which will come back
mistake.
To haunt him later, I guarantee you. But meanwhile, they hop in the back of a truck while they're making the escape, and he starts to bone Casey Myers, Nikki Ziering, right?
Okay.
And while,
while
they're boning, by the way, she's tied up by this bomb maker in like a t-shirt that just strategically has slits cut in it for no real reason, just to cover up her boobs.
Okay.
And she's hanging from her wrists, and you can clearly see her French nail polish on her hand. She's a real secret agent. While they're rolling around the back of the truck, they find this giant suitcase full of money that was supposed to go to the bomb maker.
Okay.
And so they decide they're going to change careers from secret agent operatives. They're going to get into show business.
Casey and I didn't remain lovers long, but with that cash, we swapped special ops for showbiz. And that's when she introduced me to the Crazy Girls.
Yeah, the Crazy Girls. A secret team of covert operatives who he turns into nude dancers for Vegas. But they do both.
Sure.
You've got Rachel, who is a high-end thief, car thief.
They all have specialties.
Yeah. Lana, who is a secret ops communications expert. Jasmine, who's a sniper. And Annie, who is a high-class computer hacker.
And they're all hot?
Of course.
Yeah.
And when they do their missions, they wear, like, black, shiny PVC, patent leather sort of vinyl outfits.
Sure.
Which you can see, like, a million miles away in the dark because they're so shiny. So he turns them into strippers at the Crazy Girl Riviera. But they also do secret agenting. See?
Okay. Sir? Okay.
And besides the secret agent part of the movie, you get to see horrible stripper song and dance numbers.
Okay.
Like this one.
You lead me on. You took one look into my eyes and now you're gone.
Wow.
We can't conceal the way we feel. So stay tonight and treat us right, the feeling strong.
So on top of bad acting, acting and bad writing, you get bad singing and bad dancing, too.
I'm guessing that dude wrote the songs, too?
I think he did.
Yeah.
And the good news is when you when they panned to the audience, they filled the audience with celebrity impersonators. So it looks like
no.
Cher, Bette Midler, and Michael Jackson and Britney Spears are watching the show.
Great, one of them's dead.
Well, I think this is before Michael was dead.
All right.
So anyway, he goes backstage and he thanks the girls, you know, for their hard work. And the girls, although they've changed their lifestyle, can't help but be who they are. Like Rachel, for example, when he gives her tickets to the auto show in town in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I speak for all of us when I say thank you right back, boss.
Laying it on a little thick tonight, Rach?
Oh, she's just being grateful in advance, aren't you, Rachel?
Auto Expo, here I come.
Didn't you steal a car at the last one you went to?
Steal is too strong.
Didn't you steal a car at the last one you went
to?
That's
a nice accent she's working there.
Wow.
I know about accents.
Oh,
you don't know from accents.
You don't know from accents.
What?
Because while Derek Archer is a secret agent and a strip club owner, he's also an excellent gambler.
Okay.
And so he has a card game up against the arms dealer, an Arabian arms dealer.
Okay.
Plays poker against him and cleans him out. And he hears a girl screaming from the room next door, and it's a woman they have captive there who also beat this arms dealer in poker. Trust me, don't try to figure the story.
Okay.
Just lost me. Just let it wash over you.
All right.
It makes no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Okay.
So he hears this girl, so he knocks out the guard of the arms dealer and rescues this girl.
Yeah.
And they hop into the bright yellow Hummer that he drives around Vegas in that is being chauffeured by Nikki Ziering. And he saves her life.
Okay.
But she wants to go back and get her money.
I don't suppose we can head back and collect my winnings?
No.
No. That's so not right. I won fair and square. You know sheiks hate it when you win their money.
Yes, especially if they think you cheated.
I so don't need to cheat.
I'm Damon Archer.
Monica Adams. And before I forget, thank you.
My pleasure.
I so do not need to cheat. My name is Monica Adams.
Yeah, sure it is. That's your name. With that accent, you must come from Cleveland.
Is this Crazy Girls guy, is he just another one of those dudes who gets a little bit of money and says, I should be making movies. I want to be in the entertainment industry. I'm going to make my own movie.
Yes, and he made the movie about the guy he wishes he was.
Yeah.
Instead of bald, fat Norbert Ailman, he wishes he was smooth British Damon Archer, who is rescuing hot chicks from sheiks after they beat him at poker.
Sheiks don't like that.
I do so do not need to cheat. I am Monica Adams. So Monica Adams shows up at Damon Archer's lavish Las Vegas palatial estate.
Right.
After he saves her life to thank him.
Uh-huh.
But she makes a discovery on his piano of a photograph, which makes me laugh so
hard. God, shark, and dancer. What other talents are you hiding?
Speaking of hiding things, who are they? Figures I finally meet a nice guy and he'd be married.
Actually, they died a few years ago.
No.
I'm sorry.
A picture of a woman holding an infant, and apparently they were Damon Archer's wife and child who died a few years ago. Which I'm thinking, so was this before or after you were boning Nikki Ziering in the back of a truck on one of your missions? How dedicated a husband were you?
He's very broken up.
He's totally broken up about the fact that they died before.
He needs to cry on someone's shoulder.
So the CIA comes to him and says, Damon, we know you're retired, but this guy that you beat in poker, he's a really bad man.
Okay.
And so you have to find out all the information you can out of his computer.
Because that happens a lot.
So this is a job for the Crazy Girls. So he brings the Crazy Girls into their secret Crazy Girls headquarters, which is located behind the mirror of the dressing room at the Crazy Girls strip club. And they go into their prep mode, and then they use their famous catchphrase, which they use throughout the film, which you'll hear at the end here.
Hey, boss, you got a job for us?
I do. Something that requires your special talents, girls.
Who are we going after?
An arms broker. Our information tells us he's planning to detonate a chemical bomb here in Las Vegas. Probably sometime over the next 72 hours. His name is Hamid Marzouk.
So this is how we're going to go crazy on him.
Wow. This is how we're going to go crazy on him. Because that's what the crazy girls do. They go crazy on you. Man.
Did they spring
Ahmed for Marzouk? First of all, anyone named Marzouk can't be any goddamn good. You know that by watching the movie.
Personally, I know that. Yeah, that's right.
And so they have to go and get all the information away from him by using their feminine wiles and their secret talents.
Sure.
Now, here's the thing. Monica, who he saved, who's now working as a crazy girl,
right,
stumbles into the secret headquarters, and she wants to be part of the team. But then we find out she's actually a plant from the CIA.
No, she's not.
She was sent to look into Damon Archer's methods to see what he's up to. And the CIA chief confronts her with this when she wants to back out of the CIA deal.
I did exactly as you asked me to do. I want my money so I can get out of town.
Are you kidding me? We hired you to find out everything Damon knows about Ahmed Walid. You came up with nothing.
I did my job. I want out. I don't want to do this to him anymore.
I warned you not to fall in love with Damon. But everybody falls in love with Damon.
Oh, they sure do.
I warned you, but everybody falls in love with Damon.
That's the guy writing it? That
Damon
says
Archer,
that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's the head of the crazy girls.
Everybody falls in love with him.
So we find out that Marzouk, who they're going after, has ties to Ahmed Walid.
What?
The bomb maker from the beginning of the movie.
That they should have killed?
And now we find out he should have killed him because this is what happened with Ahmed Walid.
But who's Walid anyway?
He's the man who murdered my wife and child.
Of course. Yeah.
I love that music.
While I was boning Nicky's earring in the back of a truck, he was killing my wife and kid at home. Well, that's Nicky's earring boning, a little more wife protecting.
It's hard.
Damon Archer.
But she's Nicky's earring.
So before they take down the evil Muslims.
Yes.
They have to take away their money, their financing.
Okay.
So the money is being financed. Trust me, don't try to follow.
All right.
Is financed by a Mexican drug lord.
Okay.
Because there's not enough bad guys in this movie yet,
right.
So they add another one. The Mexican drug lord, I kid you not, is played by an actor named Billy Huffsey.
Okay.
If you know who Billy Huffsey is, he was on the TV show Fame.
Okay.
He was a teenage heartthrob on Fame, who later went on to star on Confessions of a Teen Idol on VH1, where he's a washed-up fat loser now at 45.
Okay.
He is the whitest man on the planet.
He's
and
not
for some reason, they're asking him to adopt a Mexican accent.
Excellent.
Yes, yes.
And while Nicky Ziering shows up in his hotel room to interrogate him, she pretends to be a hooker. Listen to Billy Huffsey's accent.
Oh, fíjate. What do we have here?
A little something from your business associate, Hamid.
Oh, Hamid, that's nice, yeah. That's even nicer.
Yeah. Yes, you are nice.
Is it not possible to find somebody that actually has a real accent?
I did a little research, and there are no Mexican actors.
Is that right?
Yeah, apparently there are no Mexican actors in Hollywood, so you have to use washed-up old teen bop stars from bad TV shows.
But this movie has everything.
Oh, yes, you are nice.
That's even nicer.
So, at the end, Damon Archer finally hunts down Ahmed Walid, the man responsible for the death of his wife and child. And before he kills him, they have a very poignant exchange.
I am just like you, a gun for hire.
Just like me, huh? Well, that's interesting. Because I don't remember ever killing a woman or a child, for that matter.
Yeah!
No, he didn't!
Uh-huh. Because I was too busy banging Nicky's earring in the back of a truck while you were blowing up my family. Well, he disarms the bomb, and he kills Walid. And he saves Vegas from the nuclear chemical attack.
Of course he does.
And all the girls go back to his palatial estate and go swimming, because that's how they celebrate at the end of every mission.
Nude, I hope.
Las Vegas may or may not have been the first place the crazy girls inflicted maximum damage on America's enemies. But it is the first time their story has been told. Still, at the end of the day, there's always time for a little rest and recreation.
Photo shoot by the pool for the crazy girls.
There you go.
Sequel! 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 Sequel!
That's what happens when people have too much money.
Yep. I
love it.
Will smell this movie forever.
That's the
Ralph. That closes the video vault.
That's the new one from Alice in Chains, by the way, called Check My Brain, album out later this month. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What the hell are you talking about?
It's a Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday, doesn't it?
It does.
Sure feels like a Monday.
Sure does.
Oh, I've been writing Monday on my checks all day today.
Would you say you have a bad case of the Mondays?
I got a case of the Mondays. That's what I have.
How many checks do you write generally during the show?
Hundreds. I use them for the vending machine. I write a check for a quarter and then stuff in the slot.
Does that work?
Oh. Does that work, first of all?
That's why I write so many.
All right.
Keep jamming them in there.
Oh!
Ralph, we're getting on an airplane tomorrow. And
what?
When it lands, assuming it does, we get out in New York City. I mean, we're going to be in New York, and we're going to be broadcasting from there on Thursday and Friday of this week.
You act like you're stunned.
Why are you telling Ralph that?
We're going to get an airplane, and when we get off, we're going to be in New York City.
Well, you know,
that's how it works. You know,
for years I've argued that air travel isn't possible. There's no way to get something that heavy in the air. I'm convinced somehow, and I don't know how they do this yet, that they turned the Earth.
Yeah.
The plane doesn't move at all, but I haven't put all the pieces of that theory together yet. It's just amazing to me.
You know what I like? I like the 3 hours you lose.
Yeah, that's good.
When you head east. So we'll be getting in on Thursday, actually. We leave on a Wednesday. We get in sometime Thursday or Friday.
Wow, that's great.
We might be here this Thursday weekend. In October, too. That's
oddly
what's
enough.
Yeah.
In the future.
So
like
we
2011.
Can guarantee you the Thursday show is going to be...
It's going to be crisp.
Bright and shiny.
Make sure you tune in. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Because it does feel like a Monday.
It does.
And that's what we do on Mondays.
Right.
The Final Destination was number one, just by a hair. $15.4 million made it number one. Second place was Inglourious Basterds, which made $15 million. So they got screwed out of the number one slot by $400,000.
Wow.
That's
Lisa.
It's like two tickets.
Nice work, Lisa. All About Steve was number three, then Gamer and District 9. Number six was Halloween 2, then Julia and Julia was seventh. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, The Time Traveler's Wife, and Extract rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. You know I love John and Kate plus hate, right?
Sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently there's more hate now than ever. Us Magazine has an interview with John Gosselin, and he does not mince any more words about his soon-to-be ex-wife.
Uh-oh.
About filming the TV show and the fact that they are doing their interviews separately now. John says, I can't sit on the sofa with that woman. I can't sit on someone's right now that I despise.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mother of your children, dude.
Well, he says, I will always love Kate as the mother of my children. But I can tell you right now, at this point, what's going on, I do not love Kate.
Why do you gotta be so insensitive all the time?
He accuses her of feeding into the media frenzy by appearing on magazine covers and bashing him.
Yeah.
Which he may have a point. She did recently say that she thinks John has been abducted by aliens.
She is the worst.
She was asked to explain how he got transformed in sort of a club hopper from being a computer technician. Said, I think he was abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, his wife has said that she wears her ring still because she doesn't want to upset the children. He says, I would like to wear my ring. I think she wears the ring for public perception. I don't wear my ring because she took my ring. I don't have it. I don't have the ring. I laid it down one night and it was gone. Who else would take it?
Explain this to me, Ralph, if you can. How does it help the children if she wears the wedding ring? They know that Daddy doesn't live there anymore.
It doesn't. He says, by the way, he thinks she did have an affair with that bodyguard.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Yeah.
I speculate.
I don't know for sure, but that's a general feeling. When they were traveling together, I always felt jealous. Here I am, Mr. Mom, and then there's my wife traveling with some other guy.
Yeah.
So
he can have her, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
How do they do that?
They're getting along spectacularly, so congratulations. And congratulations to Jude Law. He is just weeks away from being a new daddy from that girl, Samantha Burke, who was a Hooters waitress who he knocked up and then had nothing to do with. But he says he's excited about the birth of their daughter, who's due on October 6th. By the way, Jude Law is set to kick off his Broadway run as Hamlet on that exact same day.
Hmm.
The day his baby's being born, somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
He'll be in
New York. Know that most guys are excited about having a child with a woman they've met once.
That is true.
That's just
ideal,
as a fact.
That's
really
science.
Yeah. You can't get enough of it. And Gwyneth Paltrow has new plans for her career.
What?
She says she may do the occasional film in the future, but what she really wants to do is become the next Martha Stewart and create her own line of products for real women.
Real ugly women.
Maybe. What does that mean for real women?
Apparently, she thinks Martha Stewart stuff is out of the realm of the average American woman.
I see.
And Gwyneth considers herself a real woman. Who's really rich with a rock star boy husband who lives in a very rarefied atmosphere.
You know, it's funny. She has this newsletter called Goop. And
yeah, so does Psycho Mike.
The criticism that's very different. Is that it is so not for real women.
It's
it talks
for real
about
women.
I went to Paris and here are some fashions you might love.
You know,
and they're
know.
Thousands of dollars yeah. and everything in there is name dropping and
oh, Lisa,
way out
you
of
don't
the realm
know what
for
it's like to be a real
people.
Woman.
You don't apparently
know.
Not.
You with your multi million dollar radio career. You don't know about real women.
Where is that? I want to do that.
You want to go to there.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, David Arquette. Is 38 years old today, as is actress and host Brooke Burke.
Oh, yeah.
Henry Thomas from E.T. also celebrates his 38th birthday. Lorenz Tate is 34.
Woo!
And Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement. He is 28 years old. Pink celebrates her 30th birthday.
Okay, explain the Pink.
Well, she's a singer, and she's also married to Carrie Hart. Are they married again? Are they were divorced?
I think
and
they're
together
back
again?
Together?
They are.
They're together.
Well, last
yeah.
I heard, they
they're
were back
together,
together again.
Yeah.
Giving out tattoos someplace in Vegas.
She thinks at the Blue she's a smart little girl that she can do whatever she wants. No.
Bacon is good for me.
That's right. That's what I hear.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Sessler will be here from G4 X-Play, and we'll be talking about Beatles Rock Band.
Oh,
is
that you're getting that so for your happy. Kids, right, Kevin?
Bean's favorite day of the year, 990999 tomorrow.
Number 9?
I'm not getting that for my kids.
Number
no, they
nine.
Need to learn the truth up front.
Number 9?
Also, Japan's First Lady. I don't know if you heard about this. She says she was taken to Venus by aliens.
Sure.
Really?
Yep.
I believe her.
And funny man Jay Moore in the studio tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away though, because Kat Corbett is up next. You know how she is after a long weekend. It's going to be very dark in this studio in
yes,
about 2 minutes. She's got 40 minutes
yes.
nonstop K-Rock music, including yes, Fireflies from
I'll
Owl City.
I'll be playing Fireflies from Owl City. Yes.
Also, the new one from Chris Cornell. Kat, you'll be playing that one as well.
Yes, I will. I love Chris, and I'll be playing some great new music.
Kings of Leon and Rage Against the Machine. All straight ahead, right after this on Good Old K-Rock.